about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Ah, I want to see what's on the other broadcast. Where's the oscillator on this thing? God darn it! What is this do? Oh, I'll make my adjustments here and...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It seems like, you know, dance and electronic is really, like, not what, in, like, the last 4 years, I would say, just has exploded onto the scene, you know. People who are not originally, you know, tuned into it have, there's so many artists now, and I think it's great that it's really hit the scene hard.
No! No!
So, this is not your first time in Los Angeles, is it?
No, of course not.
No, no.
No.
Your experience when it comes to L.A.?
I mean, I'm experienced being on the earth.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoking the ganj.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Roll another.
That is an incredibly silly
just
thing
to say. Just like the other one.
Beer bump here at the Red Carpet
Beer. This one seems to be about to quit.
It is shocking that someone with your instincts is working here.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. This
smash, smash, smash.
Roll another one.
It's crazy. I couldn't imagine getting my arm bit off by a shark.
Just like the other one.
He's America's douchebag.
This one seems to be about.
It brings me agony and sadness.
I don't have another cent.
Isn't your name like Spanish for a threesome?
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Just pass it around.
What difference at this point does it make?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Don't bogart that joint,
just pass
America.
It on down. It's down.
And now,
to an out-of-this-world phenomenon. I hate this word. Phenomenon.
What did you do?
Our feature presentation.
I love it when other people are at my level. It's good times. Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday, the 9th of August.
Why are you bringing your whooping cough in here again, Kevin? Why is it the first thing you walk in just hacking, like just with a big cloud of cancer all over you?
It's my desire. I don't know. I can't help it.
I don't stand a chance.
No, you don't.
They got you, and then Lord was sick yesterday. She was on my other side. I think.
Yeah.
I think Dave is sick.
Whatever.
Damn you.
Whatever. Black Death.
Kevin is just basically, he's taking you and putting you, chaining you up inside a little box, and then just injecting AIDS into you. That's
I'm not positive.
No place to go.
He's feeding me a petri dish.
That might be an exaggeration. I'm willing to go home right now. That's cool.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's willing to go home.
I mean,
I just can't imagine there's any way you're not contagious the way you're hacking up a lung.
Oh, I'm not contagious anymore.
Yeah, he always
says that. It's my favorite thing anyone says because they really never know.
Not at all.
Well, Kevin Stefanski is a medical doctor.
That's correct. Thank you.
He does now.
Thank you.
We get stories like this. It is a Friday morning. We'll tell you all about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show in a moment. We get stories like this every once in a while, and there's no rational explanation. There's no way we understand how dogs are able to do what they're doing. But this is another dog who didn't take the hint. This is another dog who ends up miles away from home and still manages to find his way back. Now, how do dogs do this?
I don't know.
It's
one of those phenomena that you just go, there's no explanation for it. You could drop a dog off across the country and it'll show up at your front door.
Right. Sarah Walter, 49 years old, lives in the UK. Her dog is named Breeze. Now, the dog wasn't at home. She was out of town. The dog was left with a pet sitter on the other side of town. The dog somehow panicked, was kind of a jittery dog, and escaped the home, running off into a 400-acre cornfield miles away from home, okay? Well, the reason the way Sarah found out about it is that the pet sitter called and said, well, I just heard from the police that your dog not only escaped, but your dog has been hit by a car on the freeway.
Oh, no.
On the M5 motorway. Car was hit by a car going 70 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Not instantly killed. Ran off from the scene. We can't find the dog, but the dog is gone. She spends hours driving up and down the motorway, walking nearby roads in the surrounding area, trying to find. No luck. Gives up. Goes home. The next day, 18 hours later, she gets a phone call.
From the dog?
From her parents. Oh. Saying, Breeze just showed up at our house 10 miles away from where the dog had last been seen on the motorway.
Whoa.
How did Breeze know where the parents lived?
How he got to my parents' house, I don't know, she told the newspaper. He wouldn't have had a clue how to get there. Every time I've gone with him, I've gone by car. He must have a built-in navigation system. So she had driven to her parents' house a number of times before with the dog in the car. Did the dog remember that and somehow was able to find that location from a place miles away in an unfamiliar part of town?
It had to.
Yeah, there's no other explanation, but how could it possibly have? That dog has a better sense of direction than Lisa May.
Oh, my God, yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's absurd.
Breeze is expected to make a full recovery from his injuries after the long journey.
No, you need to put Breeze down. That scares me.
No, you need to put that pet sitter down.
There's something wrong.
Yeah.
Pet sitter didn't have a chance against Breeze.
That's the worst pet sitter ever. If the dog gets out, runs away from the house, and then ends up on the freeway and gets hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
So she won't be invited back to look after the dog.
That is crazy.
Anyway, just a mystery. Hey, Joe Rogan, you got your new sci-fi show. Why don't you
look into that.
Feature on how dogs are able to do that. Anyway, I'd just like to point out for the record, let's put a little red star or something, gold star, whatever you put on, red circle, gold star, on the calendar today to show that it was a story with a happy ending.
A non-death day.
A non-death
no one
day
died.
So
right, exactly.
Right. Thank you,
Bean. Beer Mugs is wearing a suit. Is anyone else thrown off by that?
You know, I walked around the corner and ran into him and had no idea who it was.
Dress shoes, dress
pants. It
just
totally freaked me out.
A jacket,
what
dress
is that
shirt.
About? What's
well, it's got to be a funeral, right? That's the only reason you'd put on a suit.
Two words. Ronda Rousey.
Yay! You dressed up for a guest.
Yep. You got a suit. You think that suit's going to help?
What?
Not only do I look fantastic, Kevin, but when she sees me wearing this suit, she's going to fall for me instantly.
All right.
This is how delusional guys are. If only Ronda Rousey knew me, she'd want me.
Yeah.
That's what's going on in Muggs' head. He's right. Forgetting completely that he's Muggs.
But Muggs is very near the top of that list of guys who believe that, though. You know what I mean? Like, some guys just passively think it, or it's a flighty thought. Yeah, of course you'll fall in love with me. But for him, he really believes it.
Here's the thing, though, with Muggs is occasionally someone really hot, like a Miss Double D contestant, will spark with him.
Yeah,
like she
sort of.
No, but it's happened at least twice that I know of. So
Lisa's right.
All
Lisa's
he needs
right.
is that to give him constant hope.
That's
I mean,
an excellent point.
So the girls who did that, who said, hey, you look good or whatever.
Well, it was more than that.
They're really they're really hurting him.
Yeah, deep down, yeah.
Yeah.
But Lisa, what are the chances that Ronda Rousey also is mentally ill?
None. Muggs, you can't actually button that. I've seen you try to button that twice. You may as well just
stop trying to button.
I just got to suck it in a little bit.
This suit is from 3 months ago. There's no way it still fits.
Yeah, so Ronda Rousey would be here today, and I believe we're going to have to send Muggs out to get food.
What?
As you know.
But he got all dressed
well,
up.
Well, we don't have an intern. Do we have an intern?
No.
I don't think
no
we have
interns.
An intern.
Yeah, but we have Chip could go out.
She's busy.
She's
got to run the board.
I love that.
Also
so
on today's
much.
Show, we have a brand new internet roundup.
It may be the best internet roundup that I can remember.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
just in terms
something.
Of just pure quality, just great, great videos. Can't wait to share.
Brand new movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
More on Khloe Kardashian kicking down doors trying to find Lamar Odom.
Oh, boy.
The most expensive thing you ruined. We're going to talk to Lake Bell on the program today.
Oh, yes.
We have tickets.
Hold on. I got to put a suit on before we get her.
We got a little bit. We have Kick-Ass 2. Bean used to shave at work, by the way. He used to bring his razor to work.
Why?
When there was a hot chick that
he
liked.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And he would shave at work.
Because you want to be as fresh and as clean as possible before she shows up. You don't want any of that stubble because you know how hairy I am. You know how fast my beard grows.
Yeah.
Put lipstick on a pig. And we also have Matt Damon on the program today.
Love him so much.
Talking about Elysium.
Yes.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz.
Got a story about a surgeon who was doing a little networking at a medical conference, and he decided to email every single person he met at the conference with a list of requirements for the woman that he would like to meet and marry.
He wanted them to hook him up?
Yes. He's basically saying, hey, I know I just met you for a second, got your business card. Now I want to put you to work for me. Wait till you hear the list of requirements for the woman that he wants,
oh,
that
boy.
He thinks exists, that he thinks is out there, that he thinks is possibly a real person.
5859?
It even goes beyond that.
All right.
Anyway, that's coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. Movie Beat next half hour as well, because it is Friday. Ralph is here now. Time for the show biz beat. What's going on?
Sad news. One of the 70s Hollywood icons, an excellent actress known as Karen Black, has passed away at the age of 74. Best known for her work in the heyday of alternative 70s cinema, movies like Easy Rider, Nashville, Five Easy Pieces, for which she received an Oscar nomination. Then she sort of made a segue in the late 70s, early 80s into horror movies, did a TV show called Trilogy of Terror, which was a landmark horror movie at the time. She played the lead as three different characters in three different intertwined stories that were truly scary. And that sort of put her in the horror movie niche, and that's where she spent a lot of her time the remainder of her career. But a very talented actress, and back in the day, just a smoking hot sex bomb, too. But passed away at 74 years old. Sad news. This is sort of cool. I'm falling a little bit more in love with Leah Remini every day.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought she was hot. But then it was that Scientology thing. I was like,
right.
Oh,
but now that's out of the way. She's yours.
There? What's going on there?
Yeah.
Now that she has very vocally sort of risen up against the powers that be.
She's completely
Scientology. She has left Scientology and now is very active in terms of describing and disclosing what she found to be heavy-handed, intimidating tactics. That
from the Church of Scientology?
Yes.
What?
Famously, they gave the reason for one of the reasons behind why she left the church was that she attended Tom Cruise's wedding to Katie Holmes back in 2006 and was asking about David Miscavige's wife, Shelley, who wasn't in attendance. And she said, where is Shelley? And someone apparently rebuked her by saying, you don't have the effing rank to ask about Shelley.
You have to have rank to ask about someone?
About the well-being of someone's wife. And that caused her to have some questions about the management of the church and the hierarchy there, and years later, now she has since left, she has gone as far as to say she's going to write a tell-all book
right.
about her experiences with
awesome.
The church, which has to make the church nervous. But
she better do that from a safe house.
More importantly, this week she has filed a missing persons report for Shelley
Miscavige. Where is Shelley?
No one knows.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, she's involving now the Los Angeles Police Department to at least investigate into the whereabouts and well-being of Shelley Miscavige. Now, the church claims she's fine. She's just sequestered away. She lives in solitary.
Just locked in a tower.
Who does that?
Well, apparently certain members of the church do like to cut themselves off from the outside world and just focus purely on the well-being of the church. But some people are saying, well, if that's the case, then let her come forward herself and say that she's fine in that way. So
I don't know if you saw last night, the LAPD did release a statement that they did find her.
They did?
They did find her, and they say that she's fine. They didn't give any more additional details about where she is, but they said they did meet with her in person, and they have closed the missing persons case. But
she on a boat?
In a desert somewhere?
Yeah.
But you're so right, Ralph. I mean, that is just a knife in the side to them to have her so publicly call them out and go, hey, how about some accountability, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely gunning for trouble, isn't she?
Yes, and by all accounts, she has been the victim already of chilling tactics from the church, but according to people close to her, she doesn't seem to care. She's not intimidated by what they might throw at her. She seems determined to get some answers, and that may mean interesting stories ahead regarding
yes,
the Church of Science.
Would you guys be brave enough to do that, or would you just slink away?
No. I'd be like, please don't hurt me.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do.
Leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, and we'll all go our separate way.
Isn't Scientology one of those things where you really like someone, and then once you hear they're a Scientologist, you're like, I'm out?
Kind of. Forbes magazine has released their list of highest-paid TV celebrities. Keep in mind, boys and girls, this is what we're talking about. This over the span of the past year, this is what these people made in broadcast television.
All right.
Okay? Here's your top 10. Judge Judy Shindlin. She made herself some $47 million over the past year.
Oh, for so God's
every
sake.
Year we're amazed by that.
She's number 10.
That's baloney.
That's not baloney.
It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense because your syndicated program is wildly popular and you're the owner of that, Judge Judy.
That is crazy.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Not interested, sir.
Ellen DeGeneres, $56 million.
Okay.
Ryan Seacrest, $61 million.
You got to give him credit for what he's working with. It's a lot of money.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. What? Talent? What discernible talent?
I don't know.
Translates into the $61 million. Now, I think he's a nice guy. I know we make fun of him a lot and everything. I've met him several times. He seems like a genuinely nice person. But I'm just stunned.
But he produces
I think that's
crap
it, yeah.
that people
that's what it is.
Love.
Produces
that's
the Kardashians and all that
but
crap.
But crap is the...
But
is
people
the,
love
is the operative
crap.
Word in that sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, he apparently has his finger on the
pulse
I'm
just looking forward to the... 12-day glass house challenge.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I want to see. Donald Trump, just on his TV work, $63 million. I bet he makes more money from the TV show than he ever made.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah. How does he make so much money off Celebrity Apprentice?
I guess he owns a chunk of it.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Every day.
Now, they put him in the list, and it says TV celebrities, but I'm stunned. Rush Limbaugh? Does Rush Limbaugh have a TV show?
I don't think
Not
so.
That I'm aware of.
Anyway, $66 million for Rush Bow.
Wow.
Boy, he needs to shut up.
Sixth on the list. Well, he gets more grief than Al-Qaeda, Lisa.
Yeah.
He also gets, what did you
more
say, 66?
More funding than Al-Qaeda.
Unbelievable.
Fund Al-Qaeda.
Dr. Phil McGraw. Dr. Oh. Phil, fifth on the list with $72 million.
Not a doctor.
Then your pal, Kevin, Oprah Winfrey, $77 million. No
pal.
One even watches anything she does anymore. She barely exists. On the pop culture landscape, and she's still making $77 million.
I'm so fat.
Kevin's wife may be the only one watching the OWN network.
Yes,
she
doesn't even watch that. I mean, it really is. There's nothing. I don't know where she's getting this money from.
Glenn Beck.
Really?
Third on the list. $90 million.
Oh, my God.
How did he make
that lunatic? How did he make that?
He doesn't have a TV show. He doesn't even have a radio show. His show is on the internet only.
$90 million. And then at number one and two, it's a tie between one and two.
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen not on the list.
Oh, I thought because he got that huge payout. Then
who do you think are one and two tied? Tied one and two.
Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin. No. You mean the fictional animated
yeah.
person, Peter Griffin?
Mm-hmm.
No, it turns out he's not on the list, Kevin.
Should
who is
be.
It?
Who is it?
Farrah Abramson?
Not,
one of
no,
the
not Farrah Abramson.
Hosts of Good Morning America, Today Show or
no,
something like that?
No, no.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Surprised.
She's already on there.
I said she
oh,
was
yeah,
ninth,
sorry.
$56 million. Pay attention, Lisa.
David Letterman.
No. Number one and two at a tie are Howard Stern and Simon Cowell.
Oh, sure.
Each with $95 million.
Come on.
That's all right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
$95 million.
Wow.
That's almost $100 million.
Right. And just in a year, right? The year
yeah.
before that,
yeah,
they probably made about the same.
Who knows? But this was certainly the past year. They were the highest paid TV celebrities.
Wow.
Good morning. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Melanie Griffith is 56 years old today. Today's show co-host Hoda. Hoda Kotb is 39 years old today. Actress Gillian Anderson. Ah, love her. 45 years old. Actor Eric Bana. Is 45. Actor, writer, producer Thomas Lennon, 43 years old today. And Anna Kendrick, how adorable is
all
she?
Right.
28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget we got to do that grand prize drawing for that thing this hour.
That's right.
Because we're going to roll out details on K-Rock Road Trip USA stop number 4, which you are going to love, Kevin, because it's in Las Vegas. We'll tell you about that in just a few
minutes. I have that thing right now if you'd like to.
Yeah,
time.
Let's do that thing. Sure, why not?
All right. Christina Graves from Orange is our winner to see Depeche Mode in New York City.
Nice.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
She's
going to
be
New York.
On September the 6th, excuse me, Kevin, at the Barclays Center, which is the new joint down there in Brooklyn that Jay-Z, I guess, part owns or something. It's supposed to be a beautiful facility. And that's destination number three. And then number four is the Life is Beautiful Festival, which is in Las Vegas, which is another great concert lineup, including The Killers, Kings of Leon, Beck, Imagine Dragons, Capital Cities, and more. And we're going to do just like we've been doing, 9-10, 12-10, 3-10, and 6-10. You listen to K-Rock to get on the standby boarding list. Details at KRock.com.
All right, let's find out how to get a woman.
Okay. This guy was at some sort of a networking conference, and it looks like there's not a lot of details on that, but it looks like it was all sorts of different businesses getting together to meet people and make contacts, like they do in big cities sometimes. He sent out an email to everybody whose business card he got at the course of the event. And here's what you need to know about this guy. Dear fellow networking event attendees, I was very late to last night's event, so I only got to meet a small fraction of you guys. I tried to hurry, but you can't really hurry up surgery. Okay, that sentence alone, you see that this guy is so into himself, right?
What a tool.
Sorry about the mass email, but it's more efficient on my end. I'm also kind of a semi-professional networker with 10,000 people on my Gmail contact list, 1,000 friends on my various Facebook accounts, even though I don't use Facebook myself, 1,000 followers on Twitter, and Google auto-populates my name. So perhaps some of you beginning networkers will learn some tips on how I'm trying to create a win-win.
Wow, I hate him so much already.
And we haven't even gotten to the part, right?
Right.
My situation is somewhat unusual in that I'm the number one surgeon of my type in the Northeast U.S. by volume, and I perform nearly 20,000 procedures over the last 15 years, so I don't really need any additional income, which is the unusual part. I'm actually so successful that most of the reason I attend networking events these days is for personal networking, not business networking. I'm trying to meet the right woman to fall in love with, marry, and start a family.
This seems like it can't be real.
I know,
like, nobody
right?
could be this much of a tool.
Yeah.
Right. So we already hate this guy
yes.
because he meets people, he gets your business card, and then basically he's saying, hey, work for me. I want you to do the heavy lifting to find me a date.
I'm a networker, and I have 1,000 followers here and 1,000 followers there.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Is his name Dimitri?
It might as well be. You remember that guy, right?
Yeah.
So he basically goes on to say he's been using matchmakers and paying for that, but it's, you know, hasn't worked out very well. So now he's going to offer to these people that he met at this conference. Anyone who sets me up with a first date, I'll give you $100 cash. Second date, I'll give you either $200 or free lattice worth $300. Now, lattice, I looked it up. I didn't know. Lisa, you may know this, is some sort of surgical procedure that they do to make your eyelashes look better.
Oh, Latisse. So,
oh, is it Latisse?
It's called
Latisse. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's offering that for a second date. If I go on a third date, then I'll give you free Botox worth $500.
By the way, there's no chance this guy will ever go right. on a second date, let alone a third date.
A fourth date, free Juvederm injections, whatever those are, something to do with the skin.
It's a filler for
$900.
Wrinkles.
My favorite is if I go on a fifth date, you get one eye free LASIK.
Only one, though. Why not? Pay for the other one.
All right. Here's, in general, what I am looking for. These are my hard dating parameters. These are not flexible. This means I'm only willing to pay for introductions if all of these criteria are met. If you want to set me up with someone missing one of these criteria, I may accept, but I will not pay for that. So you can still do the work. You can still find me a lady, but I'm not going to give you anything unless she hits all of these criteria.
Now, at this point, I've either thrown it away or I'm reading just for the humor of it.
Right.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
no way I'm thinking about it.
And actually. I can't wait to respond.
Right.
Number one, age. By the way, if you were the woman that he's about to describe, still no, right?
No.
Even if he's a successful plastic surgeon, the guy's the biggest tool in America.
Yep.
Number one, age 27 to 35, ideally 28 to 34. So that's a hard, if you got to, don't bring me your 26-year-old or your 36-year-old. Don't even look at me with that. All right?
All right.
Number two, no kids, but wants kids in the next 1 to 2 years. Number three, college graduate. Doesn't have to be a great school, but needs to have finished a degree. Number four, skinny. That is a dress size of 0 to 2. If you don't know what that means, many men don't. It means very skinny.
If
0 to 2.
Don't know what that means.
Come on.
Wow.
So he could meet his potential soulmate. She's a size 3 out. Number five, Caucasian. Not black, not Hispanic, not Asian.
In case we don't understand what that means.
For those of you that don't understand Caucasian.
White.
Number six, healthy lifestyle. No smoking, no drugs, good diet, no hard drinking. All right, so those are his hard parameters.
All right.
These are the things that I would ideally prefer but do not require. Christian, any denomination is fine. I'm Catholic but not very religion. Prefer any religion over none. Must be religiously tolerant. 2, graduate degree or very good undergraduate school. More compatible since I went to 3 Ivy League schools.
Oh, man, does he keep talking about himself.
Apparently, he went to Dartmouth, Columbia, and Harvard, as well as Emory, and got an MBA from NYU. 3, spent significant time in another country other than the U.S., either born somewhere else or lived out of the U.S. for a total of 6 months or more, not on a vacation, doing something like school or work.
Now, again, these are people, this is a list of things that he wants in a woman that he's giving to people who he just met.
Or hasn't met.
Yes, that's right. People he just exchanged cards with. Does it know them?
Hey, I got your card. Here's my list.
Things you need to do for me now.
What the hell?
4, spent significant time, more than a year, living in a city of a million or more so that she can live in New York City if she moves here. 5, likes animals and pets, particularly dogs. All right, now there's another list of soft criteria that he requires.
Okay? Well, it's not soft then.
This is other things that he wants on the list.
All right.
Attractive, like an 8 out of a 1 to 10 scale. 9 or 10 is actually bad because it comes with a lot of downside.
Okay. So really just an 8.
She needs to be
really, really pretty, but not really, really, really
not
pretty.
Not a 7, not a 9.
And by the way, who's to say his 8 is the same as somebody else's 8?
It's not.
Nice, normal, sweet, kind, altruistic, selfless, not entitled, not bitchy, not materialistic, not selfish, not self-centered. She must be stylish, fashionable, polished, confident, but not vain, superficial, or overly concerned about looks. Which, by the way, he's completely superficial and overly concerned about looks with his 0 to 2 and his 8, right?
Of course.
She must be hardworking with a real career and a full-time job unless she's in graduate school. She must be achievement-oriented. She must be a highly functional type B. Not a type A, though, because that would be too similar to me, but not a type B who can't get stuff done. By the way, this list, I know we're out of time. This list keeps going.
How much longer could it possibly be? He's already put everything there is available there.
She must be easygoing, with a sense of humor, doesn't take life or things too seriously, gets along well with everyone. She must be a good person, follow the golden rule, nice and kind to others, never does bad things because of values. I love that that's on the soft criteria list, by the way. Never does bad things because of values. But 0 to 2, that's on the hard
pretty list. Far down the list, that never does good bad things.
Good family, good role models, ideally good nuclear family, so can emulate good patterns of behavior. And it just goes on and on and on.
You know, he wants someone really, really nice because that's the only person that would ever put up with him.
But
because he's such a giant dick.
He is a dick.
You know what he is. He's vain. His ego is enormous. Oh,
look,
my God.
I understand that he's would be considered, until you get to know him, on the surface, just a lady looking at, hey, he's a, you know, a good-looking surgeon who makes a lot of money. I understand that that might be desirable for some people.
Did you see a picture with this story?
No.
So we don't even know that he's that.
We don't even know that.
All right.
I wonder how old
he is.
But
I mean, when your whole approach is, A, look how great I am, and B, start working for me. Here's a list of things you need to do for me now. So
I want
to do LASIK in one eye.
I want the perfect woman. If you find her for me, A, she has to be perfect. B, right. I will give you LASIK in only one eye.
So I hope that people listening to this will think I don't have it so bad with whoever I'm dating or married to.
Let the romance begin.
It could be a lot worse, right? Nice. Garmin remix.
So you need to be behind the kit, man.
No
That's doubt. Where you belong. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Beach Show at 27 minutes after 6 o'clock. We got Lig Bell coming up very soon. Love her so much. Love her. Brand new internet roundup. Matt Damon also on the way, but it's Friday, so it's time for a look at the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
How funny that my intro every week includes In a World.
Yeah, true.
And this week we've got a movie called In a World. A lot of movies coming out this week, and some big budget blockbuster type films, others in limited release. Let's start off with those, shall we? This low budget comedy looks very promising. Paul Rudd and Emil Hirsch star in a film called Prince Avalanche, about two highway road workers who spend the summer of 1988 away from their city lives and the women they left behind. The isolated landscape becomes a place of misadventure as the men find themselves at odds with each other. Looks very funny. Paul Rudd always makes me laugh. Emil Hirsch, a very talented actor. Here's a scene from Prince Avalanche. These two guys are hanging out, and Paul Rudd's character explains the difference to Emil Hirsch's character the difference between being alone and being lonely.
When you were out here for the spring by yourself, didn't you get lonely? Like, so lonely?
There's a difference between being lonely and being alone.
There is?
Oh, yeah. I reap the rewards of solitude.
How do you do that?
Well, I write letters to your sister. I had a cat, so I used to take care of my pet before it was killed. I have a lot of prescription medications, but I try not to use them.
I don't know. I get so horny out here in nature. Don't you?
Conversation took an awkward turn.
Sounds funny.
Also in limited release, In a World. Lake Bell wrote, stars, directs. This looks great. She plays a vocal coach who is motivated by her father, who is the king of the movie trailer voiceovers, to pursue her true aspirations of becoming a voiceover star. And she runs up against sexism, her own family dysfunction, her own pride, but she has to set out to change her career and perhaps even the industry. Ken Marino is also in this film. Dimitri Martin, Jeff Garlin, Lake Bell, as I mentioned, is the star.
All good.
All good. Here's a scene where Ken Marino makes out with Lake Bell, but not really with her, with her nose.
Whenever I find myself wrapped up in the industry,
yeah.
I know this sounds crazy, but I like to come to this room, take off all my clothes, and just remember what it feels like to be uncomfortable. I'm only telling you this because there's something about you that reminds me of me.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to unload all of that on you. It's just that I look at you in this space and you're so pretty, and I just want to kiss you right now.
And he starts kissing her nose.
Yeah.
Always funny.
I'll watch anything Ken Marino was in.
I agree.
Lake Bell as well.
Larger films coming out this weekend. Planes. See, it's like Cars, but it's planes.
Oh, see? Now I get it.
Remember when the cars would talk?
Right.
And then you'd have, like, Tow Mater and, like, get her done.
Sure.
And he was like a redneck pickup truck. And
right.
There was like a fast car and another car that had a personality that talked.
Right.
But now imagine that. But instead of cars, they're planes.
I'm in.
This is the story of Dusty, who is a crop dusting plane.
Creative
little two
naming.
On the nose.
Creative naming.
Who dreams of being an aerial racer, competing in a famous aerial race. The problem? He's afraid of heights.
Oh, no. A plane afraid of heights? Dusty. Oh,
so sad. That Dusty. How's he going to do the loop-de-loops and the barrel rolls?
Wow.
Well,
poor guy.
He gets help from a lot of his pals who are also planes. Dane Cook stars as Dusty the plane. It just keeps getting better.
Wow.
Stacey Keach, Brad Garrett also lend their voices. Here is Dane Cook as Dusty. Dusty Crophopper is the plane's name.
Sure.
Getting mocked by the other planes for wanting to fly in the big race.
Hey, Ed!
Plane, landscaping was yesterday, man. Get off the runway. We're racing here.
Hey.
Second call for Strut Jetstream.
No.
Looking for...
Yo, I'm Strut Jetstream.
You're Strut Jetstream?
Yep.
A crop duster? Man, what's going on here? Is everybody getting to fly today? Man, your mama must have had high hopes for you. Now, you know you built for seed, not speed.
You gotta be kidding me. That farmer's gonna race?
Seriously, with a prop that small? Maybe he races that leaky old fuel truck next to him.
Oh, that sounds like... I bet Dusty learns a lot about life and love. I bet he competes in that race. And spoiler alert, I'm betting he wins.
This has nothing to do with the snail that wants to win the Indy 500,
very
right?
Different.
Okay.
Very different film.
All right.
This looks like it could be Pixar's first misstep, this Planes. They may have gone back to the well one too many times. But for the kids, I guess they'll still enjoy it. Also for kids and for some grown-ups, Percy Jackson. Another Percy Jackson film. This, The Sea of Monsters. It's already out in theaters as we speak. The son of Poseidon and his friends must embark on a quest to the Sea of Monsters to find the mythical golden fleece and stop an ancient evil from rising up and taking over the world.
That story again.
Yeah, no, that is. Here is a scene featuring Logan Lerman, who, of course, is Percy Jackson and the rest of his friends, and their plan to save the golden fleece.
The golden fleece can heal any living person or thing, including Talia's tree. We heal the tree, we restore the barrier around camp.
Every satyr who has ever gone after the fleece has died. Look, the last I heard, the golden fleece was in the Sea of Monsters, what the humans called the Bermuda Triangle, a place not only a satyr should be afraid of. So the answer is no. I'm sorry, Annabelle.
Annabeth.
Whatever. It's a terrible idea.
I bet those kids go. They're plucky.
But he said no.
But they go, I bet you. And oh. I bet you they get that golden fleece. God bless them.
Does hilarity ensue?
No, I don't think so. Oh. I think monsters ensue.
Okay.
You can check that out. Also, We're the Millers opens up this weekend. Jason Sudeikis plays a drug smuggler who comes up with a genius plan to create a fake family and put them in an RV and move a huge shipment of weed from into the U.S. from Mexico.
So this looks funny to me. Am I wrong?
It looks funny to me, too. Great premise. What a clever, original premise, in my opinion. He recruits a bunch of misfits to play his family. Jennifer Aniston is a stripper with a heart of gold that he has play his wife. You've got Emma Roberts, who's a, sort of a sullen runaway. She plays his daughter. And there's another dude there who plays, like, his son.
His son, right.
Yeah. Here's a scene where Sudeikis is trying to get Jennifer Aniston to buy into his plan of becoming a drug smuggler.
How would you like to spend 4th of July weekend making 10 grand?
What?
All right, Rose, listen. All I'm asking is that you go to Mexico with me this weekend, right? And then you and me, we drive home together in an RV.
Mm-hmm.
And that RV has a little bit of pot in it.
Drug dealing?
No, it's not drug dealing. It's not. No, it's smuggling.
Are you out of your mind?
Look, Rose, 10,000 bucks and your flight's already paid for it.
You can't buy me.
I'm not buying you, all right? I'm renting you. Like Pretty Woman.
Just like Pretty Woman. In limited release this weekend, Lovelace comes out. The story of Linda Lovelace, who, depending on at what point in your life you caught her, would tell you varying different stories about her career in porn. She, of course, was the star of Deep Throat, maybe the most successful film of all time, let alone porn film. She was a woman who had a gift.
Yeah.
And that gift was captured on camera. And Linda Lovelace alternately said she was happy to do it early on in her career. She was sexually free and enjoyed performing. Then she claimed she was used and abused by her coercive husband. Forced into it. Then she got back into it later in her life. So who knows, really, what the true story is. This is one version. Amanda Seyfried stars as Linda Lovelace. Peter Sarsgaard as her creepy husband. James Franco is Hugh Hefner in the film. I'm looking forward to checking this out. And then the big movie of the weekend by far, in my opinion, Elysium!
Woo! Can't wait.
Matt Damon, wow. Jodie Foster, Sharlto Copley, Alice Braga. This is a story of the Earth in the year 2154, where it has just been ruined, stripped of all its natural resources. It's just a poverty-stricken wasteland, except for the very wealthy who live on a man-made space station that orbits above our planet, while the poor of the world squalor, live in squalor and work for the rich people. The rich people are free of crime and poverty and disease up there in Elysium, and Matt Damon, as a terminally ill man, decides to break into Elysium and get what's his.
And talk to him in an hour.
Yep. Here's some clips from the trailer of Elysium.
In 5 days' time, you will die. Thank you for your service.
They can fix it on Elysium, man.
Max, I think I can help get you up there.
What did you do to me?
Gave you a way out. Whoever has this has the power to override their whole system. You can save everyone.
When can I go? Follow me.
Stay close.
They will hunt you to the edge of the Earth for this.
Can't wait to see this movie.
Can't wait to see this movie.
I love Neil Blomkamp. He is the director who gave us District 9 and now Elysium. That's my pick for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
So here's a little basketball news for you, sort of. Lamar Odom, guys in the news, getting a little off-season love from the Star magazine.
Yeah. Not necessarily love.
I can't believe we haven't heard this story before.
Well, remember last year, Lisa, we heard that Lamar had had an affair, had cheated on his wife, Khloe Kardashian, with a 29-year-old stripper named Jennifer Richardson. Somehow they managed to survive that and patch things up. Now it looks like there's a new woman who has come forth who has taken a polygraph test to prove she is telling the truth. She talked to Star Magazine, and this is curious. She is not a stripper. She is an attorney. Her name is Polina Polanski, and she says she had a 6-week affair with Lamar Odom. And it got to the point where Khloe found out about it, and Khloe and her mom, Kris Jenner, tracked down where she lived and went to the, I guess she was at, staying in a hotel, went to the hotel where she is and smashed down the hotel room door looking for her, only to then find out they had smashed down the room on the wrong room.
Hey,
the door in the wrong room.
Hey, our bad. Continue with what you're doing.
So, I don't know. We haven't heard much officially from Lamar or from Chloe about whether this affair happened, but like I said, polygraph, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks likely.
What's her motivation, though?
Maybe she loves him.
Maybe she does. Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Well, we wanted to find out because we do have a good relationship with Khloe Kardashian, our favorite of all the Kardashians, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Khloe.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Heidi.
How are you? It's Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Carson. Nope. Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen.
Nope, Kevin and Bean. So your attempt was to confront your husband in the midst of being unfaithful, so you and your mom went to the hotel to knock down the hotel room door.
Yes. Yes, I knew I would catch that dirty cheater in the act.
You knocked down the wrong door, right?
Okay, so, yeah, there was that.
All right, well, that seems bad.
But those people inside there were cheating, too.
How do you know?
I don't know. They were having some sort of sex.
Okay.
Looked like they were really enjoying it, so they're probably cheating.
It's sort of, yeah, because that'd be the only way, right? It sort of sounds like this thing with Lamar was not a one-night stand. It went on for 6 weeks, according to the woman. He actually stayed with her in her apartment for some time while you and Lamar were on the ropes?
She's a home-wrecking hooer.
How come Lamar isn't part of it? Why is it all her fault?
Poor Lamar is just... He's not a smart man, for God's sake.
Oh, I see.
He's not in control of his decision.
I see. You need to be.
His percentage of shooting free throws is the same as his IQ, for God's sake.
Oh, wow.
He just, you can lead him anywhere with candy, for God's sake.
That's true.
You can leave a trail of candy corn, and he would just follow you to your apartment and just stay there. If you just kept giving him Razzles and Rolos.
Is that how you got him?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
You fell in love with me.
Oh, I got it.
My endless supply of Abba Zabbas had nothing to do with it.
Sure.
But now what? I'm going to catch him because here I am inside of another hotel, and I know what's going on in there.
Right now?
Yes. Hold on. I have to. I know you're in there, Lamar. Come on out.
No. Oh, no. Here we go again. Come on. Wow. Horrifying.
Gonna jump out the window. Chloe! Is he in there?
This isn't even a hotel.
What is it?
Why are those Pacific Rim monsters coming out of the water to come after me? I don't understand.
Ralph just makes every song better, doesn't he?
That's Kevin.
That's me, bitch.
Yeah. Wow, you can't whistle.
Kevin,
what's going
blow humming
on?
The hits.
That's pretty good whistling for Kevin, though. Come on.
Lake Bell just after the top of the hour. Right now it's 5 till 7 and time for the Ralph Show Biz Beat.
It is indeed.
Come see me tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon. The show where we take a look at the week's entertainment news and send it through the filter of a stoner and an angry drunk. And it's just chaos ensues.
Without language restrictions.
Yeah, we get filthy and disgusting, and there's a lot of oral sex jokes and anal sex jokes.
You are such an asshole.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's tonight at 10. You can go to babbleonralph.com to get your tickets there. We'd love to see you come out. Speaking of live comedy... Airlines mogul Richard Branson, the man who brought you Virgin Airlines and Space Shot 2000, or whatever that space plan he has going
right.
out into the orbit.
Right.
He's got an idea. For flights to the UK from the United States.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For your entertainment.
Yes.
Live stand-up comedians.
Nope.
Live stand-up on flights to the UK.
No. Wow, no. That's a bizarre idea.
It's going to be awesome when Kevin Smith and I are performing on the Virgin Atlantic, Virgin Airways.
You're and drunk and stumble up and down the aisle.
Hey, look, nice boobies, baby. And I'll just start grabbing all the stewardesses and stuff. It's going to be awesome. Think of the potential, though, if you have a bad stand-up comedian on your flight.
It's nightmarish. It's nightmarish because you can't leave.
It'd be fine if it was, you know, Brad Garrett or somebody, but if you're stuck with
Dane Cook or Carrot Top or somebody.
That's a terrible idea.
They should give parachutes on those flights.
But sometimes you just don't want noise. I mean, that's why they don't turn the volume up on the TV.
Bean's sweating now just thinking about it. Because it means interacting with other people. And he would have to raise his head up out of whatever his nose was into. And oh, my goodness. Oh, the hell. The hell of it all.
Yeah, I think it's too risky. If they blow, man, that's a long, long flight.
It's like Scotty.
Look, it's too risky, Captain. If that comedian blows, it'll take the whole starship out.
Picture whoever your favorite comedian of all time is. There are going to be a lot of people on that plane who don't know or care about that person and don't
want
to hear him.
I want 8 hours of Lewis Black. That's what I want. I want him standing in front of the first class section there, me kicking back with a cocktail, and he's like, these people are so stupid. Talking about the flight crew. President Obama, love him or hate him, you got to agree with this. He hates the Kardashians.
He said that?
Well, more or less. He did an interview with Amazon yesterday, and he talked about a change in culture here in the United States. That the American dream he knew and loved is now unrecognizable. Why? Because he said, when I was growing up, there was not that window into the lifestyles of the rich and famous. He said kids weren't monitoring every day to see what Kim Kardashian was wearing or where Kanye West was going on vacation and thinking that somehow that was the mark of success.
These are facts.
Boom!
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
You should.
That's science.
That is science. And Simon Cowell, he's doing the right thing by his baby mama, his girlfriend, who he's knocked up. He's going to do the right thing. And by right thing, I mean buy her a $10 million mansion.
That's what he does.
That's what he did.
Unbelievable. Lisa was right. She
said, no wonder all his ex-girlfriends like him. He buys him all mansions. Well, he got his current girlfriend a mansion. A $10 million home in Beverly Hills is where she will be staying during her pregnancy and raising their child, I assume. Now, Simon has announced he will not be living in that mansion.
So does he even live in L.A.?
He does. He's got several homes here in Los Angeles, okay. Lisa. He will be staying in one of those houses while she is quarantined away in another house with a team of Swedish au pairs who will help her push when the time has come. So not the best of signs for a continuing relationship between Simon and the soon-to-be mother of his child.
He doesn't strike me as the settle-down type.
No. I think this whole thing is a big pain in his ass, quite frankly.
Yep.
And it's soon to be a pain in her vagina.
He wants to move on to some hot chick who's not pregnant, right? That's where his head's at.
Exactly.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Anna Kendrick is 28 years old today. We have to get that song Cups. We have to pull up that Cups song.
I like that song.
It's a big hit.
You don't go in the office and say that, Lisa.
Really?
Oh, there's a lot of anti-cup
sentiment.
When
you watch it, it's really amazing.
A lot of anti-cup sentiment going on in the office.
Oh, they're cup haters.
Dave the King of Mexico. Oh, don't get him started on Cups.
He can't do it.
She's nominated for a Grammy for that song.
Is she really?
Yeah, how about that? Very talented actress is 28 years old today. Actor Thomas Lennon, funny man, 43 years old. Eric Bana, he was once the Hulk.
You don't want to see him angry.
45 years old. Gillian Anderson's also 45. Hoda Kotb. Today's show co-host. She is 49 years old. And actress Melanie Griffith turns 56 years old today. Her face, part of it's 7 years old. Part of it's 2 years old. Another part is 12 years old. It's a very interesting hodgepodge. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I wish that song was more catchy.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I wish we heard it more this summer. That's what I wish. I wish there was a way to actually listen to that song over and over again. Oh, wait. By the way, brand new Internet Roundup coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Stephen Colbert, just a preview, the Stephen Colbert dancing to Get Lucky is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Funny as hell.
It's unbelievable. And all
Jay Leno all of a sudden?
That's
unbelievable. And all the people that are in it, everybody from Matt Damon to Bryan Cranston to the real Henry Kissinger. I mean, it's an insane video, but we'll talk about that and give you all the
I didn't know Henry Kissinger was still alive.
I know, right?
I saw him, I was like,
is that really him?
Is that him or an actor? Because he's dead, he's long dead.
Right. He was famous in the 70s, and then we never heard from him again. How can he possibly still be alive and in a Stephen Colbert video?
We also have tickets for Kick-Ass 2 coming up. We're going to play a game for that. We're going to talk to Matt Damon about his movie Elysium. And Ronda Rousey's going to be here in the 9 o'clock hour. And where are we sending Beer Mug? I don't think we've decided yet, but we need to send him someplace.
I love the fact that Beer Mug loves Ronda Rousey so much from the UFC that he showed up in a suit. This is the first time we've seen him in a suit, I don't know, in 5 years. And because he feels like he's got a chance with her. He feels like he's going to make it. Today's the day she's going to fall in love with him. And we're going to make him leave the studio. Yeah, I love that
needs,
so much.
He needs to go someplace else. We did that to Psycho Mike, remember? And he got a speeding ticket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was it? Right. It was a Victoria's Secret model was in here. And Psycho Mike was so excited, so we had to send him away.
Speaking of people we are excited about, how much do we love our little friend Lake Bell, who's on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now?
Wait, is she on the phone with us right now?
Yes, she is.
Then we love her a lot.
Hi, Lake Bell.
I'm here. I can hear what you're saying.
We would love you. I hope is what you heard.
I love y'all too. How you doing?
Good.
So today is the day that you have probably been thinking about for reals, like 5 years, I bet, has all led up to today. Am I right?
You couldn't be more right. It is utterly surreal to wake up this morning and think, wow, people are going to be seeing my movie, maybe even at a matinee at 12:45.
Now, this is a movie that you wrote and you, stop me if I'm wrong, but I think I read you directed, you produced, you starred in, you're everything to everybody, right?
Yeah, no, you read correctly. It's a little comedy that called In a World that I wrote, directed, and star in and co-produced, yes. So
and it's
if
about,
you don't like it, you don't like me.
Why was this your passion project? Why were you willing to dedicate so much effort, so many years of your life to getting this particular story told?
Well, first of all, y'all are my demographic because you sit by a microphone, which I am totally obsessed with. I love the idea of the blind voice, that you can be anyone, and the, you know, very colorful and fun people who pepper that world were always sort of interesting to me.
Yeah, we look crappy and no one can see us, and so it doesn't really matter.
You could be naked for all we all know.
Well, that's
what do you mean,
true
what do you
too.
Mean could be? So at some point when you were starting out in Hollywood or starting out as an actress, did you try to be a voiceover artist?
I thought I was going to be one of the great voiceover artists, yes.
And you
then did. I was sorely mistaken that you could just roll into someone's industry and think you could conquer it overnight. I mean, I was naive, but I had come from drama school, and I had a little silly demo tape that I had made, you know, of all of my accents and weird voices and whatnot. But it's very, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you guys know this, pretty clicky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, absolutely.
Well,
there was
very one to get into.
There was one dude that ruled the planet for, I don't know, 20 years, Don LaFontaine, I think was his name, mm-hmm. and he was the voice of pretty much every single trailer.
Right, and so my movie being called In a World, and that those words were penned by Don LaFontaine, and ostensibly this movie is a love letter to him. He, you know, he was a legend. He passed away 5 years ago now. And he was just always someone that I kept in my sphere and in my brain because I just thought it was kind of an epic thing. That said, not many women are ever considered the omniscient voice, the voice of God. So I thought that was an interesting conceit and therefore perhaps a little fodder for comedy, but via kind of a feminist, a gentle feminist route.
I love that idea. I think that's awesome.
And look, you're not going to go. It's a great storyline, but that's not all the movie's about. I mean, we have a lot of people who have seen the film already that we've talked to who say that it's very funny, it's very sweet. People are tearing up at some of the other stories that you tell, and you really do have an unbelievable cast. And this is what I love about all of you and your friends on Children's Hospital. Whatever everybody's doing, the other actors all say, "I'm in." It seems like you guys just love working with each other, right?
It's true. There's a great Children's Hospital little comedy family and troupe, and we support each other and we roll deep. But yes, I have Ken Marino, Rob Corddry, Michaela Watkins, Dimitri Martin, Nick Offerman, Tig Notaro. I mean, Fred Melamed. It's a great cast. It's especially if you're a comedy geek, you're gonna love it. So it's a very sweet movie. Yes, the voiceover industry is not the main forefront. It's sort of the umbrella to tell the story of these characters who are wrestling with their egos, whether they're battered or just burgeoning.
I have a very funny clip of you and your father talking about you know, the industry and whether or not they need a woman doing these voices.
In a world In a world. This Wednesday, one woman will teach another woman. I just woke up, so my voice is cold.
Let's face it, the industry does not crave a female sound.
Yeah, Dad, you've been painfully aware of that my whole life.
Not being sexist, that's just the truth. You should stick with the accents. That's what you're good at. What was that great, that Russian Star Wars thing?
These are not the droids you're looking for.
I just love that. It's so random.
You won an award. Did you win a writing award for this already before the movie even came out, Lake?
Well, at Sundance, yes. At Sundance, it was awarded the screenwriting award, the Waldo Salt screenwriting award. So
That
was pretty profound. I was just happy to be at Sundance. I felt like I already won just being there, you know? It was pretty jazzy.
And what's it like for you to wake up this morning and, you know, you've got all this competition in theaters with the Matt Damon movie and the Jennifer Aniston movie, and among all of them, yours is the best reviewed film of the weekend.
That honestly just makes me look so cool in my parents' eyes that it's worth it, you know. I think, you know, just having my dad be like, holy cow, Jesus, you know, is really worth it. But, you know, it's a smaller movie. It obviously needs its support and love of friends and family and those kind of reviews. So I'm genuinely honored. It feels sometimes almost overwhelming. And emotional, so, you know, well, after looking that long, so.
Of course, yeah. Well, we're so happy to get the word out. How tough is it going to be for our listeners to find this weekend in L.A. and Orange County?
It's not too bad, actually. This week, right now, you could go to the Landmark or the Arclight and purchase tickets and go and see it. And frankly, I'm going to be, I'm here in New York tonight, but then tomorrow I'm trying to be at the Arclight screening at 4:30 for a little Q&A.
Which one? In Hollywood?
In Hollywood, okay. Yeah. And I'll be, like, sort of running around about there. And then the same on Sunday, the 2:50 screening.
Oh, that's great.
At the Landmark. So, I mean, I'll be there. It's very homegrown. I kind of want to, shake hands.
Are you going to be out in the lobby saying, look, I don't know what movie you were planning on seeing, but go see In a World.
Totally. I'm totally comfortable in that position.
All right. Saturday afternoon at the Arclight and then Sunday at the Landmark. Lake Bell, we're so happy for you. Congratulations already on the the success of this film, and we're very excited that it's finally here and finally in theaters. We've been waiting for it for a long time, and it's always great to have you on the show. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Road Trip USA 2013 is stop number four, Life is Beautiful Festival. Have you guys heard of this one before in Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas, no.
Killers, hometown band, Kings of Leon, Beck, Imagine Dragons, Capital Cities, and more. We're going to put you on the standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then you'll have a chance at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at krock.com.
You know that moment when you realize you've just done something that's way worse than you can get your head around?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of go flush, and you just kind of think, what just happened? I did more damage than I could ever have expected to do in my entire life.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That happened at a museum in Florence. With a 600-year-old statue.
Ruh-roh.
Here's the news audio.
Please do not touch the exhibit. An easy enough rule to follow, but seemingly too tough for one American tourist who knocked the finger off a 600-year-old Italian statue at a museum in Florence. Patrick Broderick, a 55-year-old emergency surgeon from Connecticut, his wife and kids were strolling through the northern city's Museum of the Works of the Cathedral when one statue caught his eye. A curious doctor raised his hand to the 14th-century Virgin Mary to compare hand sizes, and in that instant, amputated her right pinky.
The right pinky just broke off.
Oh, no.
Of a 600-year-old statue.
By the way, I like the story the way we heard it the first time, which was that he was trying to high-five the statue. That was a better story than just comparing hand sizes.
By the way, they don't know. I
heard they compared hand sizes, and then he high-fived
her. Read two or three stories, and it's either comparing or high. It sounds like he was high-fiving the statue. Can you imagine high-fiving a statue and it breaking it?
Oh my God.
600 years old.
Yes!
I think about this all the time, by the way, whenever I go to museums. I mean, these works of art are sometimes priceless, and you can walk right up to them a lot of times. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't spend that much time in museums, but I do know enough, I think, that I wouldn't try to high-five.
Yeah, like, Kevin wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't
people.
Even do it. This guy's an emergency room surgeon or something from Missouri or wherever.
Idiot.
Connecticut.
You do know if it's a statue that's 600 years old, that it's going to be fragile.
Yeah, don't touch.
You can't touch it. I mean, that's fairly obvious. But we thought it would be interesting, and I don't know if we've ever done this phone topic before, but we want to hear from Kevin and Bean listeners who have caused damage to something unintentionally. They, like you said, they had that moment where they pushed on something or backed into something or accidentally touched something that they shouldn't have, and it fell apart or it broke or cracked or something. We want to find out what the most valuable thing is that our listeners have accidentally destroyed.
The more expensive, the funnier. Let's
that
be honest.
Is true.
I mean, if it gets into this realm where they have to now figure out how to fix this statue. You remember Steve Wynn in Las Vegas? He's the guy that owns a bunch of casinos in Las Vegas.
Yes, and a huge art collection.
He had a Picasso he was going to sell. And he said, yeah, it's right over here. And he turned and put his elbow right through it.
Oh my God.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
He had, if I remember correctly, there was a guy there looking at the painting who was going to buy it for like $140 million. And Steve Wynn said, sure, here it is.
It's right here.
Put his elbow through it. Mm-hmm.
You still want to buy it? No, not really.
Can you imagine what that feels like?
He did end up selling it for $155 million.
Really?
Yeah, they were able to restore it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, how have you not destroyed anything valuable? You must not just be thinking of it.
I'm not around valuable stuff. I destroy crap.
Does your wife just move everything
of
out
course.
That you can
what do
touch?
You think? they wrap me in bubble wrap when I go into a place like that. I really don't spend time around super expensive stuff.
Yeah. It's probably wise.
Because, you know, it's probably smart. Let's be honest. So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. You destroyed something. The more expensive, the better. We'll take your calls when we get back on.
If you see a fat man in a suit buying fast food this morning, that's going to be Beer Mug when we send him out for the Kevin and Bean Show so that he misses Ronda Rousey from the UFC, who's visiting us in studio at the 9 o'clock hour.
I think we
send
him to Barstow.
Come on. No.
Oh, I don't think the Dairy Queen's there anymore, but they replaced it with a Subway. He could go to that Subway, right?
Sure enough.
Subway right down the street.
No, this one, yeah, they're all good, but you need to go to Barstow.
That's the best one.
Right now, though, we're talking about expensive stuff that you broke. That hilarious story about that unfortunate that he was an American tourist who broke off the pinky of a 600-euro statue in Florence, Italy. But we're talking about that at 1-800-520-1067. Here's what I'm talking about, by the way. Let's go to Garrett. He's on line two. This is why Kevin and Bean listeners can't have nice things.
Garrett, hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What'd you do?
So I was at MoMA in New York, mm-hmm. the Modern Museum of Art there. And my sister is super into that modern art stuff, and I don't really care too much for it. So me, my youngest sister, and my mom are walking around the museum just trying to waste time. And there's this exhibit that has two rotating fans facing each other, and it's blowing like a string up in the air. And
right.
everyone was just so infatuated with it. And I'm not really paying attention too much, and I walk past it, and I trip on the power cable that's making the exhibit work for the fan.
Right.
And the fan stopped working, and the string that was being held up falls on the ground, and it was just the biggest deal.
Love it. Did security come rushing in?
You wrecked it.
Immediately, they came and grabbed me and escorted me and my sister and my mom out of the MoMA.
Love it.
My other sister, who was just in love with the place, was super offended, and people were just got super pissed off. And I've never seen more dirty looks in my life.
Oh my God!
You didn't even care. That's part of it.
What's going on? Where you unplug a fan and that's disruptive to art? I don't get it anymore.
I don't understand.
That's modern art
about string in the air. But
yeah, you did the right thing, Garrett.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate that.
Let's go to Mike. Mike is on line 8. Sounds like he really did some damage here in the Philippines, Mike. Is that where you were?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
What happened?
So I got chosen to represent my church when the Pope went to the Philippines in 95. And so, ironically, we ended up at a bar really, really late. And
you and the Pope?
Not the Pope, no. But a whole bunch of people that we went with. And so the next morning we had to be at church. And so we're running around trying not to be late. And I thought, I'm going to save some time and put my shoes on in the car.
Right.
And so I'm running through the house and my shoe drops.
Right.
And I think, why should I stop and just pick it up? So I decide I'm going to kick it and I'll swoop down, pick it up as they go. So
that's a time saver right there.
Late.
Yeah, you don't pick. You don't reach. Reaching down can take 2 seconds. Yeah. You have to kick it up into your hands.
Retarded.
Right.
So anyway, so I kick it, and the shoe flies up and hits this plate that's sitting on like a little holder. My mom used to buy them from with Rockwell pictures on. I was like, oh, wait, big deal. Well, it hits, it teeters, and it slams to the ground and crashes. The lady that owned the house walks over from hearing the crash. She sees the plate, looks at me, picks it up very reverently, and then sets it back on the table. After a pause, she looks at me and says, that was a 5th century Ming Dynasty plate that you just broke. It's priceless.
Oh,
wow.
I have another one, but don't ever do that again.
I have another one.
Oh, was my God.
Was it in tiny pieces or just some big pieces?
I don't think super glue is going to do anything to fix it.
Oh, my
sweet.
What was it worth?
I think priceless. I think that was the actual price tag on it. I have no idea.
Can you imagine like trying to explain to her what you did? I kicked my shoe. I wasn't trying to break it. I was just trying to pick my shoe up, but I kicked it.
Yeah, I tell people now at bars, let me tell you about the time I broke history.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Nicely done.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Appreciate that. Let's go to Reggie. He had another priceless artifact, it sounds like. He's on line 6 and he's up next on the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock. Hi, Reg.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Lisa.
Good morning.
What'd you break?
Good morning. I broke, me and my partner, we were doing some audio video work a lot in the celebrities' houses around Los Angeles area, and we were carrying in a TV through Dr. Raj Kanodia's front door, which is about 10 feet and about 3 inches thick. As we opened the front door, it swung and had no doorstop behind it. Well, sitting right behind it were two huge vases that stand about 3.5-4 feet tall. And the front door went right through the first one, cracking a huge hole in it while the maid was standing there, and let alone she damn near passed out.
I hope you blamed it on the maid.
Well, we really couldn't blame it on anybody, but fortunately I didn't lose my job.
What was it worth?
$80,000 is what I was
told. Did you say $80,000?
$80,000, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Yes, no kidding. And we were both really worried that something was going to happen, but I guess he wasn't too upset about it. I did see him a couple days later, and he actually didn't say anything to me.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it was good or bad, but
wow.
Yes, it was.
I would hope they'd have something like that insured. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right.
That's what I was thinking.
By the way, bad on them for not having a doorstop, too.
I know.
That's going to happen eventually.
And letting Reggie in their house,
right.
Too.
Keep anyone named Reggie out.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Peyton. Peyton's on line one. We're talking about things that you destroyed, valuable stuff that you broke by accident. Hi, Peyton. Welcome to the show.
Hey, big fan. I was at my friend's house a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and he just got this new flat-screen TV, like one of the best ones.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and he was like, he made some like weird joke. I'm like, that's what she said. He's like, shut up, and he shoved me, like messing around. And I slammed into his TV. It fell off the wall, and like the screen cracked all over. I'm like,
oh so there was just glass all over the floor?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's like, oh.
But it was sort of his fault.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Sweet. Hey, way to go, a-hole. That's all awesome. Right. Thank you, Peyton.
Thank you, Peyton. We appreciate you listening, young man. How about Gabe? Gabe's on line 4.
Why?
By the way,
are all these people guys?
Yes. Yes,
girls
they are.
Klutzes.
Girls don't break stuff?
Well, not as much.
Apparently not. Gabe, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
What did you break?
Pretty much, I was with my cousins, and we went to go to a Rushneck dealership, like with fancy cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, I was just all nice and whatnot, trying to convince them that I had money. So I go on a test drive, and when it's all over, for some idiotic reason, I wanted to lean over so I can honk the horn.
Right.
I pretty much scratched the paint with my belt buckle.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Bentley.
A Bentley.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Did they see it?
So you kind of keyed it on accident.
Unintentionally, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they see?
No. Well, I left.
Did you run? Yeah. Yeah, you did right there.
I would run, too.
You do. That's what you have to do. All right. All of these pale in comparison to Mark.
Yep.
Mark?
Hi, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
Congratulations. You have the record.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I was in Virginia Beach in the Navy, and I was working on an F-14, and one of my coworkers brought over a service unit, and I had to move the plane, and as I did, I ran over that service unit and dug into the horizontal stab that exposed some boron, which is a toxic composite.
And
that sounds bad.
How much damage did you do?
Well, the plane is worth $35 million. I did a couple million dollars worth of damage, and the plane was decommissioned for 2 months until we got it repaired.
Oh, my God.
A couple of million dollars worth of damage.
Yes.
So what do they do to you? I mean, do they know that it was just an honest mistake, or do you somehow get penalized for that, or do they start taking out $20 a week out of your paycheck, or what?
Well, I actually lost a pay grade and a couple of months of half pay.
Wow. Oh, dude.
Wow. You got off easy if you caused a couple of million dollars worth of damage.
Well, there's not really much they can do. I was just what they call an E3 at the time, and I moved down to an E2. I was very young, and it was just an honest mistake, but they don't really look at it that way.
No.
That's tough. Man. All right, man. Thanks,
good times.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
This is why our listeners can't be around nice stuff.
Yeah, I know.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Check us to see Kick-Ass 2 before it hits theaters. Also, yeah. Matt Damon next hour and a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup. Maybe one of the best of the year coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Speaking of best, maybe the best Kick-Ass 2 game of the whole week.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You've had some good ones.
After Teen Heroes and Green Heroes and Mean Heroes and Queen Heroes.
They have lean heroes? Somebody, are they skinny?
Somebody tweeted last night, what'll be next? I can't wait to find out. Hashtag said nobody ever.
That's true.
How dare you? While we're talking about tickets, get tickets for tonight's Hollywood Babylon at BabylonRalph.com or Improv.com. Kevin Smith and I doing our show down there in Hollywood on Melrose tonight at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come out and join us. And next week, we're at the Irvine Improv on Friday night at 10. Love to see you guys come out.
Represent!
Represent, OC. One of the major stories we'll be talking about tonight is the ongoing battle between Sharknado and Sharktopus. It's getting very serious now.
Is it? I didn't know. They're throwing down?
Those of us, the Sharktopies, we are not happy with this phenomenon, if you will, in quotes, that Sharknado has become.
What's the problem? What's the issue?
We started it.
Right.
We started the fire.
Right.
And Sharknado did all the attention.
I thought that we didn't start the fire. Now I'm confused, Ralph. Oh.
Listen, Billy Joel. Sharknado has announced the name of its sequel. Remember, they had a Twitter contest. You could name the sequel to Sharknado. It's official.
Okay.
Entertainment Weekly says the title was selected by Sci-Fi for more than 5,000 submissions via Twitter. It'll be out next July. The official name is Sharknado 2, the second one. See what they did there?
So,
see the thing.
The comedy is that they're playing it down rather than going crazy with the title.
Second,
the subtitle is the second one. Sharknado 2, the second one. See, it's sort of funny because it's so
I sort of like
so
that.
Silly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Simple.
It's goofy, dumb, funny.
Not to be undone this week. The powers that be who created Sharktopus have announced not one, but two sequels. Damn you, Sharktopus! Two sequels.
Did you stay alive in that one? Can you come back?
No. But my twin brother could to avenge my death.
Ah, right.
However, I have not got a phone call from Roger Corman and company, who are, of course, responsible for the first classic, Sharktopus.
They don't recognize that it was on your shoulders?
I guess they don't.
Huh.
The two new sequels have been announced. One is, well, it's all I think you need.
Okay.
But it is called Sharktopus versus Mermantula.
What?
Sharktopus versus Mermantula.
I'm in.
Mermantula.
Sounds terrible.
Sharktopus versus Mermantula. Now, the Sharktopus, of course, is half shark, half octopus.
Right.
The Mermantula
half
is...
Half mermaid.
No.
Oh.
Merman. It's not a mermaid. It wouldn't be. It would be Mermantula. It's part man, part piranha, part tarantula. It's a three-parter.
What?
It's man, piranha, and tarantula. It's the Mermantula.
That's too much.
It's too awesome, if that's what you mean.
That's what he means by too much.
Apparently,
it's overwhelming.
The Mermantula is a man who gets the DNA of a piranha and tarantula introduced into his body.
Right.
And then, in order to take on the Sharknado, he has to take another serum that grows him to enormous size, and so he can battle the Sharktopus. And then, of course, right after that gets off the ground, they will move forward with their next in the franchise, Sharktopus versus Terracuda,
which is a pterodactyl and a barracuda mixed together. So a prehistoric winged lizard and a barracuda will be mated into a terracuda.
We'll this is making insanely good sense to me.
It is. It's awesome, and it's all goodness.
All good.
It is. Kate Upton is announcing that Kevin is not the man for her.
She's saying that in public. She has to.
Does an interview in the newest issue of Elle magazine where she talks about how she does not like men who just think of her as a sex object.
Well, jeez. Kevin is into her mind, though.
I appreciate her personality.
Yeah.
She says she's a lot smarter than people think. Here's her quote. People deal with models like they're children. They think they can pull one over on you. It's actually funny. I'm always like, I'm about to pull something off on you, but you're so focused on thinking I'm dumb, you're not even going to know, she writes. She also said that she felt terrible about herself for a solid month after her first Sports Illustrated cover. The Why? Reason? Every guy I met made me feel like I was their bachelor party present or something. I'm not a toy. I'm a human. I'm not here to be used. I'm a grown woman, and you need to figure your ass out. Kevin, she wrote.
Yeah, Bean. Wow.
Kevin.
Wow. She's getting uppity.
She's tired of people like you treating her like you do.
I sort of have a boner.
Isn't her job to just be hot?
No, she's a human being, for God's sakes, with feelings and emotions.
Whatever.
God, she's hot. Not Playboy
just,
hot.
Not just a pair of cans for you to oogle. Drop your pants in Clown Town.
You can see me? I didn't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Anna Kendrick's 28 years old today. Do we have that cup song yet? Have we?
No, unfortunately, we don't have that yet.
Never.
Working on that.
Thomas Lennon's 43 years old today. Actor Eric Bana turns 45. Actress Gillian Anderson is 45 as well. Melanie Griffith is 56 years old today, and today co-host Hoda Kotb. How do you say her last name?
I think it's Kotb.
K-O-T-B?
Isn't that right? At least it's
Kotb.
I have
no idea. Hoda Kotb? I don't watch that show. I don't. I actively avoid her and Kelly Lee or whatever the hell her name is.
Definitely right. They do the fourth hour of the Today Show. Very popular show. They drink a lot.
This fictional woman is 49 years old today. Someone emailed me and said, are you sure it's Hoda Kotb's birthday today, or is Kevin just trying to text you something? I saw Hoda Kotb, and maybe Kevin was texting me, but
maybe she knows Heave W. Ludmath.
It's actually a person. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. We got your tickets for Kick-Ass 2. I believe we'll take your calls right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to get in, you're going to have to answer some questions. You have to be a comic book geek, a bit of one.
Mm-hmm. It's been unbelievable, the contestants we've had this week.
Agreed.
And the questions have been hard.
We also have Matt Damon talking about Elysium coming up a little bit later on this hour.
So if you want to go to Kick-Ass 2, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The screening, by the way, is going to be on the 13th at the AMC Burbank, 16th. The movie opens up everywhere on the 16th. Right now, though, it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We scour the internet so you don't have to put all the great videos of the week together in one handy location at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. We call it the Internet Roundup. And I have to say, my money for video of the year for 2013 has got to be the Stephen Colbert Get Lucky montage.
It is funny.
We can't really do it justice here on the radio, but basically what happened is Daft Punk was scheduled to be a guest on his show, and they ended up canceling. And he did something that's so much better than if Daft Punk had appeared on the program. He did a dancing montage through all of television, where he dances through the Charlie Rose show, where he dances through the Jimmy Fallon show, where he dances into Henry Kissinger's office. It's just crazy. Here's how he set up his dance to Get Lucky.
This is Coachella, goddammit, and it is time to dance, Jimmy!
And he is a hilarious dancer, too, by the way. It
is
just
funny.
A fantastic video. You got to love it. All right, this is also something pretty special, and I think they're putting this on the final season of The Office on the DVD, but they have auditions from lots of other people who came in to read for various roles on the show. Look, we watched The Office for all those seasons, and we can't imagine Steve Carell not being Michael, for instance.
Right.
But it could have just as easily been Bob Odenkirk. He's one of the people on this tape. Seth Rogen auditioned for Dwight. Eric Stone Street, Kevin, auditioned to play the part of Kevin on The Office.
Really?
You got to see and you got to hear some of the auditions on this week's Internet Roundup.
Urine is sterile. Did you know that? If you're in the field, you can clean a man's wound by taking a whiz on it. That is actually in first aid books written by the Red Cross.
We play hard and we work hard. Sometimes we probably play hard when we should be working hard, but that's probably my fault, but fire me.
So that's Seth Rogen and Bob Odenkirk going out for Dwight Michael. By the way, Adam Scott auditioned for Jim, as did John Cho, which would have been a very different office, right?
No kidding. Wow.
Up next, Kevin, you're going to love this. This is a lot of your favorite soccer players, the MLS All-Stars. And what they have done is they put a video together kind of in the tradition of those terrible sports franchise videos. I think the Lakers might even have made one back in
the
80s.
They did.
Of course, the Super Bowl Shuffle was famous for the Chicago Bears. I mean, it looks and sounds so 80s. Listen to this.
Even with advertising widely available online for free, festival goers say there's nothing like experiencing great sponsorship live.
That's not the right clip.
So I screwed it up again 2 weeks in a row?
I think so. I believe so. This is the Lollapalooza one.
Lollapalooza, which you think is about bands, but really, Kevin, you were there. It's all about sponsors. And listen to how excited the concert goers are about all of the sponsor interactions they're going to have for that weekend in Chicago.
Even with advertising widely available online for free, festival goers say there's nothing like experiencing great sponsorship live.
I'm a dynamic millennial who's a leader in my peer group, so I'm obviously a huge fan of Citibank.
Right, it's the best brand ever.
I can't wait to see AT&T.
Microsoft!
there may officially be more sponsors than there are bands at Lollapalooza. It's very funny.
There are a lot. That's true.
All right, now your soccer stars. We're better than the best is this all-star video. It's great.
Jack, Jack Attack. It's me, McInerney. Come with me. I'm going to take you on a journey. Right after high school is when I signed pro. I packed up my bags. It was time to go. I'm only 20 now. I'm playing with my heroes. My opponent's scoreboard will be covered in zeros.
Wondolowski, but they call me Chris the Wonder. Because they wonder why I never make a blunder. Scoring goals all the live long day. And that's all the Wonder's got to say.
That's not good.
No.
But in a spectacular way. I think they tried to make it horrible like the 80s videos.
I think they did. I hope they succeeded. Your little friend Omar Gonzalez, by the way, particularly stands out as being bad, doesn't he?
Oh, he's not as bad as Wondolowski. Please.
Got a couple of great videos to celebrate the return of Breaking Bad. Of course, this Sunday night, the show comes back for the final 8 episodes. This is awesome. I can't imagine. I mean, this looks like it ought to be real. They have imagined Breaking Bad as a junior high school musical. And these kids are great. They go through the whole story of Breaking Bad. Check it out.
Yo, Mr. White, you sure this is candy?
It is. Take a look.
She's blue rock candy, here to make you smile.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, science.
Oh, no, it's my brother-in-law, Hank, who works for the candy patrol.
Hey, Walt, what's going on? You making candy?
No. Why don't you go start a mineral collection?
That's a great idea.
These kids are all dressed up like all the people of the show. They're very, very funny. One more for Breaking Bad, too. Is this the first time that our friends over at Honest Trailers have done a trailer for a TV show?
I'm not sure.
Because, you know, they always do the movies. They always make fun of the movies. Here they are, and they got nothing bad to say about Breaking Bad.
Meet chemistry teacher Walter White. He's got the kind of cancer that makes you cough a lot. He'll cook crystal meth to pay for his expensive cancer treatment, then to save money for his family, and then just because.
Say my name, Heisenberg. You're goddamn right.
So awesome.
It is so awesome. Two more videos on this week's Internet Roundup on the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Damon, who we're going to be talking to on the show in about 20 minutes or so, is out doing publicity for his new film called Elysium, and his worst nightmare shows up, Guillermo from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show.
Jimmy paid thousands and thousands of dollars to fly you from L.A. to Miami to carry a sign that says ass face with an arrow pointing towards me, double booking a hotel room so you could do this?
Jimmy's very rich. He can do whatever he wants.
You think that's funny?
I think it's funny.
And it is. And finally, Jimmy is back. He closes out this week's Internet Roundup with This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
It's a very gritty movie. You want to take a nice hot sh** after watching parts of this.
But with Wiener, I think you look at it and you say, what is this guy doing here other than stroking his back?
So I was never against the f***ing. I was just against doing the f***ing without offsetting it with f***ing.
It's a good point.
Wow.
Great batch. KevinandBean.com or KRock.com for this week's Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bane, later Ned, Randall.
We live that fantasy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
All right, Lord. All right.
Lord
Royals,
was our
yeah.
special guest in
Twins.
Studio with us. Right. She was here yesterday. If you weren't listening, you missed the interview and performance. She did that song live for us, and it was amazing. You can listen to that right now at KevinAndBean.com.
I met her in the parking lot.
I know you did, Roddy. Yeah. Hey, bring in Ralph Garman, because it's time to give away
all
some
right.
tickets for Kick-Ass 2.
In. Thanks, Roddy. I appreciate that. Yeah, Kick-Ass 2, baby!
Kick-Ass 2.
All week long, we've been giving away tickets to see the advanced screening of Kick-Ass 2. Comic book fans everywhere have been waiting so long and so hard for this sequel to the very popular movie.
How do you wait hard?
Oh, you go, okay. It's a hard wait. It's coming out finally, very closely following the, of course, Kick-Ass 2 comic books. Colonel Stars and Stripes is in this. Jim Carrey plays that role, of course. You've got Hit-Girl returning, Kick-Ass himself. And all week long, we've been giving away tickets with superhero trivia games. The first one was Teen Heroes, because Kick-Ass is a teen hero.
It's Monday.
Then he wears a green costume, so we did Green Heroes.
Tuesday.
Right. And then Hit Girl's kind of a mean hero, so we did Mean Heroes.
Wednesday.
And then we were out, right?
Hit
then
Girl is a girl, so we did all female superheroes with Queen Heroes.
That was yesterday.
And now we're out of any sort of connection to Kick-Ass whatsoever. And Bean just suggested, let's do technology-based superheroes, and we'll call it Machine Heroes.
They.
Yeah, sing it, Omar.
We don't have time for this.
Oh, yeah. We got time.
Nothing but.
And you. Guess the machine.
All right, let's go to the phone
calls.
Okay, Machine Heroes.
For tickets.
For tickets.
To see Kick-Ass 2.
That's right.
You can win them.
How?
Just if you play.
Just if you play. Play what, Omar?
It's Machine Heroes. Now it's time to play.
All right, now
Machine
it's time.
Heroes. Omar has ruined that great David Bowie song for me for life, by the way.
I think that's better.
All superheroes that are either technology-based, they use technology, you know, suits of armor, that sort of thing, or they're robots or they're androids. These are all machine heroes.
All right. Let's begin with Ruben. Hi, Ruben.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hello.
Ruben, you know your superheroes?
I hope so.
All right. This superhero team of robots was created by Doc Magnus and based on six different elemental substances.
Okay.
That's the end of the question.
Team of superhero robots.
Is it AC/DC?
Excellent guess.
No, I'm sorry. It'd be the Metal Men. The Metal Men, of course.
You're funny, though, Ruben. Thank you.
It was funny, but you don't get tickets for being funny.
All right, let's go to Sergio. Hi, Sergio.
Hello?
Sergio.
I got a bad feeling about Sergio.
I do, too, but
from
let's
his
give
hello.
Him the benefit of the doubt.
All right.
About that paperwork.
Sergio, this android superhero was built by mad scientist T.O. Morrow to be a supervillain, but eventually became a member of the Justice League of America.
Cyborg?
No, I'm sorry, sir. Red Tornado. Red Tornado was the name we were looking for. T.O. Morrow built him.
Yeah.
To Morrow. See what he did?
Right.
He's a futurist. See what he did there?
I did not get any
all
of
right.
these.
These are tough questions. 0 for 2, Ralph.
Hi, Carrie.
Carrie?
Yeah, right here. Hello.
Okay. Hey, Carrie. Are you a superhero fan?
I am, but I can't say my knowledge is vast.
All right, we'll see how you do in this.
What are we doing here, Ralph? I forget the name of the game.
Oh, this is Machine Hero.
It's Machine Hero.
All technology-based superheroes. An accident led young Victor Stone to have most of his body parts replaced with advanced prosthetics. Now a member of the Justice League of America, he started out as one of the Teen Titans.
Oh. Oh, good grief. I don't know. Can you leave me alone?
No, I'm sorry. Cyborg. Cyborg is the name we're looking for.
God dang it.
Sorry, Carrie.
God dang it, Carrie.
All right.
We're not giving away any tickets.
We were 5 for 5 yesterday.
I know. Now we're 5 for fighting.
I think you're making it a little too hard here, Ralph.
These are all perfectly legitimate superhero questions.
There is
Come on,
guy.
Everybody's heard of the Red Tornado, Kevin.
Everybody does know the Red Tornado.
There's a guy on line 4 named Favorite.
Hey, Favorite.
Favorite.
I don't think Favorite's going to let me down. I think he's going to be the man.
You think he's going to
be our first pair that we give away.
All right.
I hope so.
All right, favorite. This machine hero.
It's Machine Heroes.
All right. Yeah, this machine hero is one of the founding members of Dr. Niles Calder's Doom Patrol, along with Negative Man and Elastigirl. One of the founding members of the Doom Patrol. He's a machine hero.
Metal Man.
No, sorry. Robot Man favorite is what we're looking for.
Sorry
about that favorite.
All right. Not giving away many tickets
Well, if not by many, you mean none.
Let's go to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hi, good morning.
Randy, here's your question. The brilliant weapons engineer Dr. John Henry Irons created a super-powered suit of armor and became this hero to protect Metropolis when Superman was killed.
Oh, come on. Give me an easier one than that.
It's very easy. Big, big character, the DC world. Dr. John Henry Irons.
Do you not want to give these away, Ross?
I want to give them away.
Are you just saving
them? These are machine heroes.
It's machine heroes.
Steel. Steel is the answer we're looking for.
You know, I would have had that, too.
Yes. Yeah.
You would have had that what? If I had given you the question that the answer was steel, too?
I don't know. I didn't understand that.
Oh, Ralph, fully he'd asked me that question about steel, I could have gotten it.
I don't know if there's a precedent for this, but can we go to sudden death where the first person that wins all the tickets that we have to give away? They could bring 9 friends to the screening. Can we make it that?
It's all right with me.
All right. Let's go to Julian. Hi.
Hey.
No hope in Julian. No hope in his hey.
Julian, if you would get one right answer, you can take 9 of your friends to go see Kick-Ass 2.
As sad as I knew all the answers before this one.
You knew
sure
all
you did.
Of them?
Never say that.
Well, yeah, then, so did I. Yeah, I did too.
Now you're cursed.
Well, then you're going to know this one. The robot Ultron is the creator of this android or synthezoid who eventually became one of the Avengers.
Vision.
The Vision is correct, sir.
We have a winner.
We have a winner. Well done,
Julian. We got one.
Shout out to
Hal
Washington,
the
IRS.
What? What did he say?
I think he said shout out to the IRS. I think he has tax problems.
You shouted out to the IRS?
Shout out to Harold Washington, Jedi RX.
All right. All right. Harold, Jedi, whatever.
It's Machine Heroes.
RX.
And I'm glad you played.
Just have an omelet.
Some kind of omelet.
Come on.
What kind of omelet is it?
You want some hash browns?
Yeah, I'd like some hash browns.
Yeah.
You, Lisa?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Like a Denver omelet. That sounds good.
Oh, that does sound good. Mm-hmm. Denver omelet. Yeah, put Denver omelet.
Take your time, Bugs.
What are you doing?
Huh?
We're not asking you to get on the mic. We're giving you our order.
Write it down. You're supposed to have a pen and paper.
Here's what's happening, by the way. We're supposed to talk to Matt Damon about Elysium here in just a minute, but we're trying to get Beer Mug to leave the studio. He came in today wearing a suit because his girlfriend, Ronda Rousey, is going to be on the show. She, of course, is the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion, and she's awesome, and we all love her, but Beer Mug loves her a little bit too much. So he shows up wearing a suit today to impress her and to win her over, I think.
The problem with Beer Mug is that he will talk nonstop. Once he, when he gets a little nervous...
Yeah.
He's like, let me tell you one time I was in a fight. That's the last thing we need. I had this guy and I almost armbarred him. And like, that's the end of the story. You go, that's not a story.
And the problem is that he's going to embarrass, obviously he'll embarrass himself. He always does. But he's going to embarrass the whole show.
Right.
We love Ronda. We'd like to have a good relationship with Ronda,
right,
have her continue to come back on the program. All she's going to think about in her visit to K-Rock is creepy guy in suit who wouldn't stop talking. That's why we need to send you out for food. And you can come back right after she leaves the parking lot.
But seriously, though, first of all, do you have to send me out for food? And second of all, does
yes.
it have to be in Burbank?
Yes, because it'll take some time.
But,
and then when you get back, if you get back too early and she's still here, hold on. You have to wait a half a mile from the radio station until she's gone, and then you're allowed to come back.
First of all, I'm not going to be back that early, Kevin. I'm going all the way.
Oh,
you know how much traffic there's going to be? I might be lucky if I'm back by noon.
Now, Muggs, how about this? Because we're good guys, because we're not dicks, we'll call you and talk to you on your cell phone while you're in traffic.
You know, I shouldn't have even come in today. I could have just listened to the show at home in my bed.
That would have been preferable for all of us.
Ronda will have a much better time if you're
correct.
Out getting food.
Yeah, correct. But none of you are dressed up and looking as professional as I am.
It doesn't matter. She's not looking for a date. She's coming in to talk about the UFC and the fighting and the Maxim magazine and all that.
I'm curious to know how you see it going in your mind if you're here, Bugs. Like, what's your rich fantasy life? How does it unfold? She walks in, and is it instant? Do you lock eyes and she falls very deeply in love right at the you know, as she walks in the door, or do you have to win her over? Do you have a line prepared?
He wins her over with a story, Bean. That's, in his mind, that's how it's going to work.
Not only will she fall in love with me at first sight, but I could feel that, you know, some digits will come my way.
All right, we need food.
Yeah.
Come on!
Meaning she's going to hit you in the face with her fist?
I don't think that's what he meant, but that's probably what would happen. Most likely.
All right, Muggs, hit the road.
But seriously, Burbank, though? Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the Bob's Big Boy
but
is.
There's so much. There's so much stuff closer
but
around.
We like that one.
But it's the original.
We're fans of that one.
Mm-hmm. They make a terrific omelet.
They do. Their omelet specialties.
You guys know that I might not even be back with your breakfast in time.
Doesn't matter.
We'll take that chance.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're going to need you to pay.
What?
we're low on funds today.
So did everybody else give you their order?
No, and I'm trying to hurry them up.
All right. Well, be gone with you. Because if she shows up early, you know, she's supposed to be here at 9, so maybe she shows up now.
But seriously, though.
Stop asking that.
Let's go. Did you get our order?
Be gone with you. Be gone.
All right. Thank you.
Turning off your mic. Be gone. Seriously. Be gone.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what's happening with Matt Damon, but he's apparently they're trying
get
to
him
track
some food too while you're out there.
Matt Damon some food too. Maybe he's hungry. Why are you still here?
Jeez. I love the commercials.
What? Go.
Kevin can do that.
Be gone. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
So we didn't get to talk to Matt Damon. Unfortunately, we're not able to find
Matt Damon.
But we did lose Beer Mug, so I think all in all, that was a pretty successful half hour here on the Kevin Beach. I got to look at it as a win.
We did come out slightly ahead.
I think so. All right, the beautiful Ronda Rousey joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Beer Mug will not be here to see her, and that's all I care about today. Yeah. First, though, Rouse got the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. What's going on?
You know what this was being in Vegas, loaded, and gambling all night long, and just passing out, and you don't even know what you did the night before, and you wake up and you count your money in the morning. And you're up like $20.
How did that happen?
How did that happen? I just remember losing at the blackjack table all night long. And look, somehow, I'm up $20. It's the best feeling in the world.
I did find it funny that we told Beer Mug yesterday that we were going to do this. And he was very upset today. He was very...
I know.
He was bummed.
He thought we were bluffing.
I think today it got real because he sees that Ronda Rousey is going to be here in like 10 minutes and he realizes he loves her and he could be in the same room with her.
And he's the douchebag going to Bob's Big Boy in a suit. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. He's not a winner.
All right, let's talk about tonight at 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I are doing our patented brand of showbizzery at Hollywood Babylon at the Improv.
Call it showbizzery?
Showbizzery. At the Hollywood Improv on Melrose, I would like to reward the Garmy out there who are so kind and sell us out each and every week by giving away some tickets. How about that?
No!
All right, fair enough. How about tickets to see tonight's Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose as a little thank you for coming out to see us each and every week.
No!
I have two pairs of tickets right now to give away. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you've always wanted to see Hollywood Babylon, but maybe you're a little behind on your rent or you've got student loans or something, let me help you out with some free tickets.
You're afraid of the contact high.
That's true. Or they drug test you at work and you're afraid being around Kevin Smith will make you test positive. 1-800-520-1067, callers number 10 and 11. Each of you will get a pair of tickets to see Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Melrose Improv. You can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com if you want to buy tickets if you don't happen to win.
Hey, Ralph, we have Matt Damon on hold.
What the what?
Matt Damon.
Elysium's Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Oscar winner Matt Damon?
We have time?
Hell yeah.
Hey, Matt.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
buddy.
He lives. Happened? He's alive.
We were worried about you.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry about that. My phone died, and literally, I forgot I was calling in this morning, and there are a lot of people panicking, I think, around town. Right?
Is it because Jimmy Kimmel used to work on this show? Is that why you screwed us over?
Yeah, I put you guys in the penalty box for a few minutes just because of Kimmel.
All right. Well, we have a really cool intro that we'd like to play for you. How about that? Do we have time for that?
Sure.
All right.
Matt Damon. What do you want to know? What? That I don't have 12 brothers?
Yeah.
That I'm a f***ing orphan? No, you don't want to hear that.
I didn't know that.
No, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that I got cigarettes put out of me when I was a little kid.
I didn't know
that. This isn't f***ing surgery, that the mother f***ing stabbed me. You don't want to hear that Skylar.
Last 4 days on Earth? If I had a d***, I'd go get laid. We can do the next best thing.
What's that?
Huh? Let's kill people.
What did you actually do in New York?
Telling lies, forging signatures, impersonating practically anybody.
Jesus Christ.
That's Jason Bourne.
Tell her that when you found me, I was here, and I was with the only brothers that I have left.
Costello was my informant. I was a rat. You prove it. He was working for me. He was my informant.
Shut your mouth.
Come on. Get up. I'm a sergeant in the Massachusetts State Police. Who the are you? I erased you.
The luck of the brother dust to the taste of defeat. Drink it. Remember this. And promise yourself never to taste it again.
You give out very little sugar with your pronouncements. While I sat there watching you, I gave some thought to stealing a kiss. Though you are very young and sick and unattractive to boot. But now I have a mind to give you five or six good licks with my belt.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the young, the personable Matt Damon.
I think the intro is more effective if you play it before the guy comes on the phone, Kevin.
Well, I agree. But the guy wasn't on time, so what do you want me to do?
Now we're out of time.
I deserve any beating you guys want to give me. I've never been late for one of these things in my life. Sorry about that.
You have been. We have been following you this week, and you have been doing about 75 interviews per day.
Yeah.
You're a little busy. We understand.
Seems like maybe you're a little tired.
A little bit. I'm going to Australia tonight, too, so I'm a little discombobulated. And we just moved to L.A., so I'm, like, unpacking boxes.
You got boxes all over the house?
Yeah, I'm a little scatterbrained.
Well, congratulations. Last night's box office, a couple million there for Elysium in the Midnight Showings. Not
really?
Too shabby.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
What do you mean, oh, really? How do you not know that?
No, I probably have it on my phone, but my phone. When I charge it, I think I'll get the news.
You need a team of people with phones by you.
That's exactly what I don't need.
Matt, I'm surprised to hear you say that you just moved to Los Angeles. That seems traitorous for a guy who's so tried and true East Coast, man.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I mean, I've lived out here before, you know, over the years, and we love it out here, and and our kids love it out here, and you know, we get a yard and a pool and stuff.
Do you think you can become a Dodgers fan, or is that asking too much?
No.
Let's not get crazy.
No, but I love that stadium. I'll definitely go to games out there. It's beautiful out there.
What about a Kings fan?
No, that's just none of that's going to happen.
None of that. Okay.
None of it.
Right. I mean, I can't wait to go to some Clippers games. I'll tell you that. I can just go just to go see Doc. I'm not quite being a traitor. I'm just going to checking in on Doc Rivers.
I got you. All right.
Matt Damon is on the phone because, of course, his movie Elysium, one of the most anticipated films of 2013, is finally in theaters today. And I'm always curious to see what choices you make, Matt, because you know you've been making movies for 25 years now, and you can have any movie you want. So I would imagine. You know, you got your pick of the litter. There must have been something very, very attractive to you about Elysium that made you say yes.
Well, yeah, it was the director. He's the same guy who did District 9.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw that movie, and I just flipped out for it. And, you know, I kind of at this stage, I really just make choices totally based on the director. If you see a great movie, it's never made by accident. You know, every frame of a movie is, you know, there's nothing arbitrary in it. It's been carefully considered. It kind of reflects, you know, 50 choices, say, that a director's made. What color are the walls? What color's the, you know, how big's the frame? Who's in the frame? What are you, you know, all that stuff is like, has been thought about. So if you see a great movie, it just kind of reflects so many good decisions made over such a long period of time that there's just kind of automatically you can assume that there's a great director behind it. So if you see a great movie, it's for me, I go, well, okay, that's somebody I want to work with. And so when I saw District 9, I you know, Neil really kind of jumped to the front of the line of people that I wanted to
I'm work not going to ask for specifics, but have you had movies where you gave it your all and you really thought you nailed it and then you put it in the wrong hands and it ended up not quite being what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, of course.
What's the name of it?
Yeah, no, and that it's a weird thing. Like, and I've always felt like, you know, because it's a director's medium. Really, the director it controls everything, and you can. I mean, I've had situations where we've had no script and a great director, and the movie's turned out really well, or had a great script and it's been kind of, you know, it's been mediocre, you know, because of you know, some wrong choices made. But if you're an actor, for me, my theory has always been like. The big decision that I make is that decision. If I'm gonna trust that director, and once I make that decision, it's made. And like you can't switch horses, you know, in the middle of the race. You gotta just go to the wall for that guy, and take it on the chin. And, you know, and sometimes, like, you're making a movie and you're, you know, a month into a, you know, a four-month experience and you're going, like, this is, you know, I'm screwed.
I made a wrong choice.
Did that run through your mind when you were breathing poop dust in Mexico City?
No, actually, you know what? You know, we shot that scene. It was in the second largest dump in the world.
Yes.
Evidently, there was a larger dump somewhere in Korea, but I have no interest in seeing it.
I'm sure that one was big enough.
But we shot it pretty late in the schedule, but Neil, like, you know, the movie's about, you know, the kind of the haves and the have-nots. It's in the future, and all the super rich people are living on a space station that kind of hovers over the Earth. They've just left us all and just, you know, and gone to this beautiful, idyllic kind of space station that kind of sits up in orbit, and we're all looking at it and wishing that we could go there, too. And so that scene is like a big action scene, like a big set piece, where this Bugatti Veyron spaceship crash lands in this dump in Mexico, and we try to hijack the billionaire in this spaceship. So it's kind of like a really good, it's the perfect kind of visual expression of the themes of the movie. It's like a Bugatti in the middle of like this third world dump,
right?
And so we kind of knew thematically while we were why we were there, which did help,
sure,
a little bit. Like,
but you're still fighting in poop dust.
Yeah. I mean, it was gnarly, man. But it's better than, like, when we were looking at the playback on the cameras, and the photography was so cool and so unique that you know, I think for me, I only get grouchy on a set when I'm with a director who doesn't know what they're doing and a crew that does know what they're doing, and that's really frustrating because there's like 100 of you looking at each other going like, we're all wasting our time right now, and the director's the only one who doesn't know it.
Right. You know? That sucks.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mexico City, this voice of Matt Damon on the phone talking about his new film available everywhere called Elysium. That's a dangerous place in real life. Did you take any kind of precautions going down there, being as well known as you are, to be in such a sketchy place?
Yeah, they had security for me there when we were there, which was really a bummer because I grew up going to Mexico. I used to go to language school down there when I was in high school. My mother and I would go on these trips in the summertime, and we'd go to Mexico City, and then we'd take a bus to Cuernavaca, and we'd live with a family, and, like, you know, go to Spanish immersion school, and then we'd travel around the country, you know, by bus. And they were the coolest trips. And
are you making this up right now?
No. So I did it for 2 summers, and then we did Guatemala for a third summer right before I went to college. And they were, you know, they were the best times. And I love that country so much. And it was just such a bummer to go back there and have security, you know, and be that guy. But, you know, things aren't like they were in the late 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
But didn't you have a lot of robot parts on you? Couldn't you have taken someone down with that suit?
Yeah, they just made me slower if I tried to run away.
Now, yeah. I know we're almost out of time with you here, Matt, but we had your friend Charlton Copley in a couple of days ago.
My condolences.
And he told us that we needed to ask you, point blank, who's the better fisherman, you or Charlton?
That's funny. Oh, man. We went. Did he tell you the story?
No, he didn't.
No.
He just said ask.
We went fishing, and Charlton had literally never been fishing, and, you know, and we're with these little spinner reels, you know, and we're on this boat in one of the little kind of the little waterways up there in Vancouver, and Charlton literally got on a streak, and I swear to God, the guy pulled like 50 fish out of the water, and nobody else on the boat, there's like 4 other guys, and nobody was getting a nibble, and he was just ripping fish out of the water, same bait, same everything.
What
he just
the
had
hell?
A horseshoe up his, you know, right? And then, so for the next, like, and he was off work for a few weeks, and every day we got a series of emails that were just pictures of him. He insisted that we take a picture of him with every fish.
Of course, of course.
And then he wrote a corresponding email with every fish with the picture, you know. And he would send them one at a time throughout, you know, throughout the 2 weeks. It was really fun.
He also told us that you taught him poker, and he beat you.
Yeah.
That's true too. Yeah. He beat everybody. He was like, I don't know how to play. And I said, come on, man, it's a friendly game. Nobody's, you know, it was a nickel and dime game. And, and we convinced him to play, and then, of course, he had, you know.
He cleans up.
He ran into the deck. He couldn't get out of the way.
Well, he's a terrific actor. He looks great in the movie. Jodie Foster, obviously. Diego Luna's in the movie. William Fichtner, Matt Damon. I mean, the movie just has everything going for it, and we're so excited it's out. And now that you're local, Matt, if you ever have some time, I know you're busy, come in and spend some time with us in the studio. We have so many things we'd love to talk to you about.
I would love to do that. We can talk about the sports teams.
Yes, yeah, we can.
Absolutely.
We've got some negotiating to do.
When the Celtics come to town or the Red Sox, you know, I'll come down.
You could be our Boston correspondent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll be happy to take some punishment.
Let's hear it for Matt Damon for coming through today, you guys. Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend, sir.
All right, better late than never.
That's right.
All right, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
See you guys.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You ready? You ready? Let's fight.
Everything you need in a fighter, she has. Yet she's a woman and she's beautiful.
And the takedown by Rousey. And there she's looking for the armbar in the opening minute of the fight.
She's gonna pop it.
The Ronda Rousey package is different than any other package we've ever seen.
Everyone who fights Rousey knows what's coming. No one has been able to defend it.
She's mean, she's nasty, and she's dangerous.
Ronda Rousey extending the arm!
My mom was the first American to ever win the world championships in judo. And she really made me into who I am today. She really made me a fighter in every sense of the word.
And it's all over! Once again, first round armbar finish for the champion, Ronda Rousey!
Kevin, would you agree with me that Ronda is not only the current UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion, she is the best ever?
Yes, I would be. Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
And only, too. Ronda Rousey in studio with us here on the Kevin Mead Show. How are you?
I'm good. It's kind of surreal being in here. It's just the first radio show I've been on that I actually listened to.
appreciate that. I know we've had a chance to talk to you on the phone a couple times, but it's awesome that you came in. I think, Lisa, you tell me, how long has it been since a guest came in wearing shorts?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Wait, how do you know I'm wearing shorts? Is Big Brother watching me? Yes. Oh, Jesus.
See that camera right up there?
He can zoom it. You see it start going, whoop, 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 when you get it.
He can zoom it, too. So
I have a camera on you 24-7, my dear. You don't even know. Actually, come to think of it, you're kind of used to having a camera on you 24-7 with this Ultimate Fighter show, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, before that, I thought I was already used to it, but now I'm really used to it.
Now, you finished the whole... You already shoot the whole season, right, before it airs?
Yeah. It's already been done. It's already been shot. And so, thankfully, when I leave to do this Expendables movie, while I'm filming, the show's going to be playing. And so, it's like, I'm not going to be missed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of stuff, a lot of ground we got to cover with you. Let's talk about The Ultimate Fighter, though. I mean, it was an obvious next step, a great opportunity for you. Did you have any kind of reservations at all about making yourself available for that? Because you're right. It is an awful lot of work and an awful lot of time on camera.
To be honest, I really think the show was more to my detriment than my benefit, but for the division itself and for the other girls that were there, it helped all of them out, and I think I'm just going to come off as crazy. I'm just going to look really, really, really crazy.
Wait, you're saying now that you've already shot it, you think it's going to be a negative?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Sure. Yeah. Because there's so much that happened. There's so much that went on. There's going to be inevitable indiscrepancies between what actually happened and how it's going to be shown.
Editing.
Oh, I see.
Exactly. And then, like, you know, there's just so many things that happen that you get so many, like, grand reactions out of everything, but you can't really show everything that, you know, warranted all those reactions. So it's going to seem like things came out of nowhere. So
it's very rare that someone complains about the editing before the show's actually been on, Rhonda.
Well, no. There's just no way. There's no way. How could they really do it? There is no way that they could tell the whole story for what really happened. So
how long did it take to do?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah. So it's like 6 weeks of constant
film content.
You have
to talk right into the gold there.
So sorry.
There you go.
In the gold.
There you go.
And I mean, how much can they really play of what went on?
Yeah, it's got to be highlights. Highlights at best, yeah.
But didn't other people explode too?
Yeah, but I'm a non-filter type. Every motion that I have is going to be shown at any time. And, you know, it's just kind of the way that I am. I really feel like the way that you show the most respect to a person is you tell them exactly what you think to their face. And, the girl that I was, coaching against has the opposite idea, is you smile in someone's face and then, you know, you do something behind their back. And so, we don't get along.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Does that help when you fight?
No, I mean, it doesn't really affect me at all. Does I, like, it? Compartmentalize. It's like I have no opinions or emotions when I go in there. It's not like...
You sort of have to put it aside or it would be a detriment, right?
Yeah. You can't let outside factors affect your fight, you know, and that's the one thing I benefited from in being in two Olympics. It's just that, like, you know, you just fight over and over and over and over again, and you can't take the time to care about who it is.
Have you ever fought and beat a friend?
In judo, yeah, actually. I remember I was fought in the Rendezvous one year, which is like the version like the Canadian Open. And a friend of mine, I trained up there, and I was like, her name was Marge. And I was like, yo, I just got my draw. I don't know who this person is. You know who, like, Marjorie, da, da, da. She's like, yeah, that is me.
That is me.
Like, oh, shoot.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
Marge. We're about to get the business. So, no, a lot of good friends of mine, I've competed again.
So you don't spend a lot of time with your eventual opponent, Misha, who you're going to be fighting December 28th. You don't spend a lot of time with her in the course of making the Ultimate Fighter TV show, though, right? I mean, you guys are kind of just glaring at each other from opposite sides of the ring, right?
No, they force me to be around her all the time.
Oh, they do?
Just to get reactions.
Yeah, and so she's the type to, like,
so you've,
you know,
had it up to here with that bitch,
smirk.
Right?
Yeah, she's the type to walk around and smile and smirk and be a little, you know, whatever. And I'm the type, just every time I walk past you, I'm going to flick you off. So that's kind of how the ebb
awesome.
And flow of the show went, is her being like, oh, no, I'm little Misha. I'm such a victim. Everyone's so mean. And I'm just like, I don't like you, and I'm not hiding it at all.
I love this
woman.
It's
going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. Yeah, it's great for everybody else.
Now, Rhonda, I'm going to ask a question that's going to sound really dumb. And I know you get asked it all the time, but our listeners are wondering this. How can you always win on an arm bar when every single person that signs up to fight you knows that that's what you're going to beat them with, yet they still can't defeat you? What's going on with that?
Well, they see the arm bar itself, but they don't understand the setups. It's like I'm not going for a specific finish. It's like I like narrowed everything down. And so, like, it's a lot of people walk in with really strict game plans, and if, like, things don't go exactly to that plan, then they limit the options that they see because they're looking for something specific.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I start completely open-minded. We do one exchange, and then so I'll do something, and there's only so many possible reactions they could do. So I expect all those reactions. Whatever one they do, then I'm like, oh, I know what to do with that reaction. I narrow it down and narrow it down until all the possibilities are narrowed down so much that it just ends up being an armbar. So I'm not trying to do a specific thing. It's just that I can change and set it up from anything that they do. So there's no right answer for any reaction they have for anything.
So you're just thinking quicker than they are in the moment.
Yeah, you just have to be entirely in the present, whereas they're trying to think about, okay, my game plan is to get her back on the wall and then maybe take her back later, and they're thinking about where they want to go. I'm completely focused at where I'm at.
Can you hear coaches? Can you hear crowd? Can you hear...
Sometimes, like the last fight when, like Liz got my back and she got me in that crazy cross face, like I heard the crowd and I was like, oh man, like,
yeah.
It looks like I'm behind right now and my face is getting ripped off. Like, I was just thinking.
She was,
like,
ripping your face off. That was happening.
It was entirely uncomfortable. and then there's, like, little of the times I, like, I'll hear my coach. Like, the last fight, I didn't hear my coach at all.
At all.
At all. But, like, the time the Misha fight when, like, I threw her down and she was on the ground, I heard my coach be like, kick her in the legs. I was like, I should. That time I did hear it. And, like, I had her in a clinch one. She was like, knee in the leg. I was like, great idea, dude.
Yeah,
and
good.
Then I did.
Now, you are you're undefeated as a fighter. Misha has lost a few times. What has been able to beat her in the past?
My arm bar.
Yeah, there's that.
There's that, and she's got dropped by left head kicks, like, twice. Her first loss, I think she got knocked out by left head kick, and then she was losing bad to Julie Kedzie, and she got knocked down with a head kick again. She kind of dives in for double. She's a wrestler type, so she likes to talk about how bad my striking is, but, you know, I don't get dropped with head kicks. and then the last fight she had against Kat Zingano, she's actually doing really, really well, but Kat's the type who she comes in stiff and loosens up as the fight goes on, and so as the fight was going on, and she was just, like, had her against the cage, she was, like, elbowing her face, kneeing her and stuff, and then, like, Misha kind of did, like, this like, drop down, like, try to do a double leg thing, but I mean, if she wasn't out, she was trying to do something, but it was just, like, so, like, it was such, like, a pathetic attempt, it, like, the referee kind of called it.
after after he just said you're out?
Yeah, it was a little early. She would, but you know, she was already on her way down. You know,
I am calling this fight right now for Ronda. By the way,
it doesn't sound like
it can go any other way. All right, we have to take a quick break. UFC 168, by the way, is coming up on December 28th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. That is going to be an unbelievable night for other reasons too, including Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva and their rematch that night. It's going to be an amazing night. Also, we're going to talk to Ronda about her upcoming movies. You made a mention of that. And also, you're on the cover of the current Maxim magazine, which is available on newsstands now.
Yeah, I just saw it for the first time right now. It's right in front of me.
You just saw it?
It's the first time I saw a physical copy, yeah.
You do have a lot going on.
We're
going
to make a cell phone call to your biggest fan, a very sad man in a suit driving to Bob's Big Boy to get us food right now because we made him leave the studio when you were coming in, Rhonda. That's how we roll. We'll do all of that when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera.
It is 9:28. Rhonda Rousey's in the studio with us talking about 15 different things.
She's the busiest woman in show business. UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion, of course, Olympic medalist in judo, cover of Maxim magazine, which you are seeing for the first time. What do you think of your issue, Rhonda?
I think it's really cool. I purposely got heavy for this photo shoot. So, and I just jumped on the scale today. I'm actually lighter right now than I am that day. I was like 151 that day. I was like, you know what? I need to have a chest going on here.
You look like you weigh 110 in those photos.
Thank you. No, it's just
you look
like
tiny.
When I weigh 135, you know, it's like. It's the most finely tuned athleticness ever. So, you know, to be that weight, my body's like, yo, I'm going to need those titties if you want to be into the bag. So I was like, if I'm going to do Maxim and I want to be like feminine, I got to get big. So I was like, all right, some of us are going to In-N-Out.
Why can't all girls be like Rhonda? That's what I want to know. Hey, speaking of your boobies, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but in your last fight against Liz that we got in February, Your top very nearly came off, right?
Yeah. I got the wrong bra. Like, I have like two separate bras. I have one for the weigh-in because I need to have it be as small as possible because I have to lose the weight of whatever the bra weighs.
Right.
And then I have one for the fight that's, you know, much more practical.
Holding it in.
Yeah. And somebody thought it'd be a great idea to just get two weigh-in bras. And so it was just too late. I couldn't get a new one and get it printed within 24 hours. So I was like, okay.
Like, you don't have enough going on during a fight, though, when somebody's hitting you in the head. Now you have to worry about whether your clothes are coming off.
Right. And the funny thing was during the Misha fight, someone got me, like, I got shorts that were too short and I had to worry about my shorts. So it was just the fight in the middle, the Kaufman fight, I was like, I want the Kaufman outfit. And then they're like, no. And so while this girl was ripping my face off in the Carmouche fight, I was literally thinking about, okay, my chin's going behind my shoulder and I might nip slip in front of everyone. And then the second I ripped her off my back, I was like, oh my god, my bra. And she wasn't thinking that because she just kicked me straight in the chest, like right as I was trying to fix it. She was like, right there, boom.
Well, this is so unfair to be a girl. There's so much more you have to worry about.
But you have to know though, Rhonda, that the two greatest things that ever could have happened for women in UFC are, one, that it was a phenomenal fight with great athleticism. I grant both fighters that. But two, that we almost got to see booby. I mean, you want to get people to keep buying fights. That's the way to do it.
Hey, I'm here to entertain. I'm here to entertain. As long as it didn't actually, you know, come out, it's just the, you know.
If it happens, it happens.
Well, you know, it's like hearing like the car like shriek, but without actually hearing the crash, you're kind of like, did it? Oh, but you still got just as excited
for a second. Are we wrong to root for it too?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
But I'm not going to oblige.
I'm
shopping for myself the next fight.
December 28th is going to be the fight at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. It's going to be an incredible night of UFC fights, including Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva at the top of the bill. And, of course, don't forget the Ultimate Fighter happens on Fox Sports.
Fox Sports 1, the new station.
You mentioned movies. Expendables and Fast and Furious. Are both of those happening for you, Rhonda?
I mean, Expendables, I'm 100% committed to, and I gave them my word, and my fight I'm 100% committed to. And, you know, if we could make Fast 7 work, that would be awesome. You know, I think anyone who has the opportunity to be part of both those franchises would be absolutely ecstatic, but
sure. It's
just about priorities. You know, I'm a fighter before anything else. I need my fight to be totally, you know, well prepared for. And then, you know, my word is my word. I told them I would do anything that they need me to do on the Expendables, so I'm not going to inconvenience them for Fast 7. So Fast 7 is priority number 3.
Okay, so Do you work out on the road? When you're doing Expendables, you have to work out.
Yeah, actually, I just went to the fitting yesterday, and I ran into Victor Ortiz, who, you know, just fought Floyd Mayweather recently. I have a lot of people in the boxer know him, and he's going to be training as well while he's there. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Bulgarian montage time. I'm excited.
Now for Fast and Furious, obviously you don't need to know how to act because, you know, Vin Diesel is in those, but can you act?
Oh, man.
The question was, can you act? That's what Bean wanted to know.
I guess we're going to see.
I mean, I
don't want to be that person to be like, yeah. And then, you know, I'd rather people have low expectations and surprise them.
All right. So don't expect much. But
I've done some stunts before, like when I was coming up through MMA, just picked up odd jobs. So I can guarantee you my fight scenes are going to be bomb, diggity bomb.
Absolutely.
And you're never to see anything like that from a woman before, ever.
Now, we have a piece of a business we got to take care of before you leave here, Rhonda, and you're so awesome. We love having you on the show. But how do you handle the guys that can't wait to meet you because they're convinced you're going to fall in love with them if only you had the chance to meet them? Like, that has to happen to you all the time with guys that are fans of yours or have crushes on you, and they have their moment with you and they want to make a play. How do you react to that?
I just kind of like try to be nice because they don't really work. I mean, I don't get anything in the middle. That's the thing. Like, someone will come up to me and be like, please marry me, or just nothing, you know? Like, I don't get like,
you don't
hey,
get a normal,
you want a latte, you know? Like, that's the way to get me. Okay, just chai tea. Yeah, hemp milk latte.
Are you single?
Yes. And I'm flying all over the place. I'm traveling all the time. I mean, I don't really know how I could possibly make anything work right now.
Yeah.
Well, we have a guy who works on this show. He's usually, behind the controls there where our friend Chip is right now. And you're his number one. Like, he loves you so much that he put a suit on today to come in to be in studio because he wanted to impress you. He shaved. He looked nice. He smells good. He thought, I'm going to meet Ronda Rousey, and today is the day that we're going to become a couple and my dreams will come true. So, Kevin, what did we do for Birma?
We sent him to get food while you're here.
Because
it was going to be a little weird.
We sent him to the valley.
But we did promise we'd
all
call.
All the way to the valley. You played it safe.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure. That he was not going around the corner and then coming back early. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Mugs.
Hey, Beer Mug.
Hi.
Oh, my God. She looks so
she does.
Good. I mean, she's gorgeous in person, Beer Mug. She's so pretty.
I have a big black eye today. Don't listen to them.
She still looks great.
She looks better with a black eye than anyone I've ever seen. What, Mugs?
She sounds beautiful on the radio.
Yeah. Where are you?
I just got on the 101. I made it to Burbank going breakneck speeds, believe it or not.
Right. But you're not going to be back in time.
Well, Rhonda, would you like to stay around for the after-show meeting?
I don't know how long I can stick around. I got a train already today.
You weren't listening. You're supposed to offer a latte.
Oh, that's right. No,
what's wrong
yeah,
with you? Dumbass, she just said, here's how to get me.
God, Mugs.
All right.
So, Mugs, so wait, so you've already gotten the food, you've already been to the valley and back, and now you're on your way back to the radio station?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get Rhonda out of here immediately then.
Rhonda has to go.
Rhonda has to go right now.
I could go try.
All right, Mugs, thank you.
I love that. All right, Rhonda. So listen, you got a lot going on. People should go out and they should buy the Maxim. They should be watching starting September 4th for The Ultimate Fighter on Fox Sports. That's going to see you all season long.
That's a new network. Fox Sports 1 is the new network.
Yeah. FSS or FFS or whatever they're calling it, right?
FS1.
That's it. And then UFC 168 is going to be coming up on December the 28th. We are so excited about that. Please come back.
The biggest card of all time.
It is the biggest card of all time. Please come back and see us like whenever you can. We love you so much, Rhonda.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Rhonda Rousey. You're listening to Kevin and Bean. Beer Mug, you're fat.
Yeah! Boom!
That doesn't make Beer Mug drive into oncoming traffic. Nothing will.
So that happened.
That is the last nail in Beer Mug's self-confidence right there. Oh, I'm so in love with Rhonda Rousey, by the way. She's so awesome. She's so funny. Yeah. All right, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
We could tell how you felt about her when you completely creeped her out and said you'd have a camera on her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Creepy! I'd have a camera on you 24 hours a day.
I was trying to segue from...
Buzz.
I was trying to segue from the camera in the studio
mm-hmm.
to talking about her reality show. That's all. Uh-huh. Wasn't trying to be creepy.
No.
That was a segue.
It was just a segue. Yeah, you're smooth. Speaking of reality shows, sad news. Farrah Abraham has come forward and Looks like Finding Farrah, her docudrama that she's producing for herself, will not be making its way to television anytime soon. According to RadarOnline.com, every single network presented with it said thanks, but no thanks. Because no one believes anyone's interested in watching her on a show of her own.
Excellent. I am shocked that E! Turned something down.
Me too. Especially considering they're doing the Rich Kids of Instagram next.
Right. I think.
Really says something about the project.
they don't say no to anything. Kristen Bell has a very refreshing attitude towards marriage, being a big-time celebrity and whatnot. She said there will be no extravagant ceremony when she finally gets married with Dax Shepard for a very simple reason. She said, we already get plenty of attention as celebrities. We don't need to get a lot of attention on our wedding day.
That's interesting.
She said her dream wedding would be a private, casual affair that is small and not covered by anyone and just a little thing for her friends and her family. So wouldn't that be nice?
She makes a lot of great moves. Like when she turned 30, she turned that into an opportunity to have her fans that wanted to shower her with affection to donate clean water to Africa. I mean, yeah. She just does stuff like that all the time. She's awesome.
She's like a good broad. So does Amanda Seyfried. She's got her new movie Lovelace coming out this weekend. Of course, the story of Linda Lovelace, star of the legendary porn film Deep Throat. And she said, you know, there was a certain amount of nudity that came with that role. She said she finds getting naked on screen liberating. She loves it.
All right. The kids love it, too.
She said her nude body is like a costume on the big screen. You know, actually, it's the exact opposite of that, Amanda. She said we all look the same. So she doesn't.
We don't all look the same.
She doesn't feel the least bit self-conscious when she's nude in a movie. Because we all look the same. That is simply not true.
That's not
no,
true.
Not at all. If you look like Amanda Seyfried, it's one thing to be naked.
That's right. I'd be naked all the time if I looked like her.
Very different for the rest of us.
Big news. I can't believe we haven't covered this, and I apologize to everyone who's been demanding immediate coverage on Beyonce Hairgate, but I just didn't have time to get to it today. Lisa.
What's Hairgate?
Beyonce's cut her hair.
She did? Yeah.
You ever see the outrage, Lisa?
Oh, my God.
Have you been watching the ABC Evening News? They've got a correspondent outside of her home constantly. Looking for strands in the trash.
Oh my God.
She has cut her hair. So much so that, according to sources, it made one of her stylists cry.
Come on.
Cry.
Boo!
Beyonce has cut her signature fierce long locks.
Quite a story.
Into a blonde, super short pixie cut, say witnesses.
What have you been doing all day, Ralph, with your time that you didn't have time for this?
I apologize that I didn't get us to Hairgate 2013. But yes, there's your breaking news. Beyonce has cut her hair. Everyone remain calm. The government has impaneled several senators to look into this to see if there's some way we can reduce it before it's all too late.
I don't know if I'm allowed to have an opinion on this or not, being a guy, but I think she's one of the women who can pull off short hair. I think she looks real good.
I think there's plenty of women who can pull off short hair, but pull off is the optimum phrase there. No woman looks better with short hair than she does with long hair.
Oh, really?
It's just science.
I don't think that's science.
Well, you can agree with it or disagree with it all you like, Lisa. You can disagree with gravity. You can disagree with the fact that the Earth rotates around the sun. You can disagree with the planet being flat or round, but there's just facts. Then there's just facts. Yes, Beyonce absolutely looks lovely with short hair. However, do you think she looks better with the long hair?
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard, for proving my scientific fact once again to be true.
I think Bean agrees with you is not proving science.
It is. Bean is the most scientific dude I know.
I think Ralph is right. I mean, you look at Michelle Williams, who's another one who's sporting a pixie cut right
now.
And
lovely.
She looks terrific. But Michelle Williams with long hair, even better.
Yeah, go see the Marilyn movie with the longer hair. And then, boing. You know what I'm saying? And Lisa, since you're all upset about hair, this is for you. I'm going to give you a little something, something. I know one of your dreams of all time has to be to appear in a Broadway musical.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to make this happen for you.
Okay.
August the 12th. Here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood United Methodist Church there in Hollywood, right there at Franklin and Highland.
So Monday?
That's Monday, by the way.
Monday.
Uh-huh.
That's why I want to give people a heads up.
All
Monday,
right.
August the 12th in Los Angeles. Open casting calls for Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah!
You too can be injured in a musical.
They're looking for someone to take over the role of Spidey.
Oh, boy.
You'll have to sing a rock song a cappella that shows your range, Lisa, but you could put on the Spider-Man costume and be suspended above the audience on Broadway.
If I had any talent, I would do that.
I like Lisa a lot, but she's not Spider-Man.
I think she could be.
I'm not a singer either.
Did you ever see her break a chocolate bar with her hand? She's got mad fighting skills.
Wow. I saw the chocolate bar won that fight.
Oh, that's true.
If you recall.
Apparently, Reeve Carney, who's been the star of the show since its inception, is now leaving the role, and they're looking to replace him with a new Spider-Man. So, if you want to be Spidey, get your ass to that Hollywood United Methodist Church on August the 12th.
Okay.
You listening, Beer Mug?
Yeah, I'd like to see him in that outfit.
I can be Spider-Man. Just you wait.
Could we hear Ronda Rousey's message for Beer Mug again, please? I'm sorry, I don't remember what it sounded like.
Hey, this is Ronda Rousey. You're listening to Kevin and Bean. Beer Mug, you're fat.
Well, oh, that's right.
Got a point. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on August the 9th. Anna Kendrick, 28 years old today. Do we have her song Cups?
We do.
I think we do. Let's take a little bit of the Grammy name of that song.
I got my ticket for the long way round. Two bottle whiskey for the way. And I sure would like some sweet company. And I'm leaving tomorrow. What do you say? When I'm gone.
She can sing, too.
She can sing, too.
Anna Kendrick's 28 years old today. Actor, writer, producer, director, Thomas Lennon. Very funny man. 43 years old
today. In the Beatles, right?
That's a different...
Sorry.
Eric Bana is 45 years old today. Actress Gillian Anderson, also 45. Today, co-host of The Fourth Hour, Hoda Kotb, 49 years old. And actress Melanie Griffith celebrates her 56th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a good weekend. I walk the show with speed.
Let's do this thing. Monday, Harvey Levin, Chris Hardwick talking about Breaking Bad, James Dean in the studio, and more.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you get paid more if they do stuff to your butt?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's right.
What's that?
Roll another one.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
Just like the other one.
I want you off the set, you prick.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm a queen.
And I need another hit.
I have a medical marijuana prescription. Personally, I went in and they said, what do you need it for? And I said, I have a very specific ailment. It's called, I ain't got no weed on me right now.
Roll.
Britney Spears, what about her?
Just like the other one.
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
This one seems to be about to end.
That's an obvious hole.
I don't have another cent.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
But don't bug our
bed. Banned by the FCC.
Just pass it around.
Whip it real good.
I don't want to join my friend.
Hey.
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Muchas gracias, amigos, por todas las memorias. Y super gracias a Goya.
Good effort, although savagely racist.
So let's get to the point. Let's roll another joint. Let's head on down the road. There's somewhere I gotta go.
You have to admit, it's over. It's done. We gotta get all these assholes out of here right now.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.